If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Stuff.biz.
Thank you, loyal listeners, for yes. for the horn. This is Tedious 432. I'm Sven. He's Mike. There you go.
What's up?
So on the Skype, we have Alex, and we also have Morgoth.
Hello.
Hello, sir. Yes,
all the way from, I believe we call it Old Blighty. From that Enchanted Isle. Or is that Ireland? Sorry. I think it's Ireland. But he's this from the UK. We have Morgoth's Review.
Yes, Morgoth of Morgoth's Review.
He's going to tell us about what's been happening in our mother country.
He's going to jazz hands us on Brexit.
He's going to fill us in.
He's going to tell us what to think.
Yeah.
Because we don't know.
And in short, it's like this. But
it's cool. Like, I had to drop.
You guys have been going hard on some journalists lately over there, I've noticed.
What's that?
You guys have been going very hard on some journalists over there.
Yeah, and it's nice to see. I mean, that's where the populist action is at the moment. People have figured out that it's pointless just complaining about Muslims all day, and we can sort of direct all the firepower on the establishment, and nobody gets called a racist for that either. Well, you know, unless you go too far. Yeah, it's going okay. The problem, we've got too many parties on the right, but we can get into that a bit. So there's For Britain, UKIP, and now Nigel Farage's Brexit party as well. And I'm a bit pissed off that they're fracturing the vote.
Yeah, I'm a little bit. I kind of wanted to be if you could like red list us on that, because it's very confusing.
Yeah.
For us. I mean, just I don't follow the UK news religiously.
If you go back about 18 months, so Brexit happened, and then that was for you. That was mainly UKIP that did that. So then for UKIP, Nigel Farage, it was like, well, mission accomplished. And the party seemed to be played out because they were the United Kingdom Independence Party. And in theory, we'd won the referendum. Brexit was going to happen. And the party didn't really have a platform anymore. The mission accomplished. Where do you go from that? And so they kind of dived down in the polls. And then there was a woman in it called Anne-Marie Waters, who was an Irish lesbian Marxist. And
in UKIP?
Yeah. And she started to talk. She started to go pretty hardcore on Islam and the whole Muslim issue. And I'm not sure who it was, but she got kicked out of UKIP for that. And then she started her own party, which was called For Britain, which was to the right of UKIP.
And she's a lesbian Marxist.
Yeah, an Irish lesbian Marxist. She was in the Labour Party.
Is Stryker like right all along? Like, well, no, Stryker wouldn't be down with the lesbian thing. But
no, well, the Marxist murder though.
That's
and,
crazy.
And yeah, she's got that. She did have that whole Zionist thing. I've been asking people, like, I knew I was coming on with a report reporting back to like Hatred HQ in America with what's going on here.
Hatred HQ.
So, and it does seem she's kind of shelving the Zionism a bit because she has to be to the right of UKIP. Well, what happened was that after they booted her, UKIP itself lurched to the right and started to take on Tommy Robinson and speak out against Islam. And then Sargon of Akkad, Paul Joseph Watson, and Count Dankula all joined UKIP. So UKIP were going for a more sort of tech-savvy social media market audience. And so that's where we are now. And then what happened was UKIP lurched further to the right, which meant Anne-Marie Waters and For Britain had to go further to the right again. And now her council has, people delivering leaflets. I mean, it was reported yesterday that they're delivering leaflets around London and in Britain for these big elections, which is coming up, and that's to do with the Kalergi plan and stuff on the actual leaflets. That she's been pushed that far to the right, and she speaks in explicitly racialist terms as well.
So what? And then, allow me to interject, what? So she's why as a lesbian Marxist, like, what's her agenda here? Is she doing the Britain should be safe for homos thing, like that bit?
She started off there. She started off doing like a critique of Islam from a liberal point of view.
Right, right, which is irritating as hell.
Yeah, that's the usual stuff. But she's been pushed more. She's been pushed because UKIP's lurched to the right. She's been pushed to the right as well, and she's sort of adopting more and more of a sort of conservative, socially conservative platform, which is nice to see. And another good thing is I think her sort of second in command used to be somebody in the BNP. He was deeply involved with the BNP, and he's come out of the wilderness and he's sitting there with her. So out of the three, that would be the party I would like to see do well. But the problem is you've then got UKIP under sort of Sargon of Akkad and this edgelord thing.
Yeah.
And then they're all Farage came back with his Brexit party, which is doing really well. And the difference is UKIP are mainly going for like northern working class votes, and Farage and his Brexit party are targeting the sort of the upper middle class Tories in the shires in Dorset and Kent and all of those areas, and they're doing very well. And Farage, of course, turned his back on UKIP because he thought UKIP was getting too extreme. And so
that's what I want to ask is was Farage like, you guys are going too far, and that's why he left, but apparently that's the case. So that seems like it's a bit of a it seems like a bit of a shit show on the right over there.
Yeah, it's a total shit show. It's a complete mess. I'm not gonna dress it up. It's a complete fucking shambles.
Not like we have room to talk.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it's not like America has much room bragging rights here. I mean, it's sort of funny because sometimes it depends where people are, but like I've had friends that have been to Italy recently, and they're like, yeah, like, the Italians still think Trump is, like, base. They think he's just as good as, like, what they've got going on in Italy. And I'm like, nah, because they just don't know the day-to-day news here, so I have no idea how badly this guy is cucked out.
And that's a funny thing, because we've got the election. What all of this drama at the minute? I mean, we're going to get into Sargon and UKIP, I think. What's going on is that we're running up next month to the European parliamentary elections. And so all of the populist and nationalist parties usually fare very well in that.
Right.
And Salvini's trying to round up, create a sort of nationalist bloc in the EU. He's going to do well, and Viktor Orban's doing it as well. So that we've got sort of nationalist governments pumping money into creating a nationalist, pan-European nationalist bloc within the European Union, where they're going to try and hijack the European Union from within. I mean, it makes me laugh, because in Britain we've got all these lib shit Remainers. And they're like, you know, they look at me as if to say, oh, this fucking bigot from the north, he's a typical Brexit racist shithead who's taken Britain out of the European Union. And they think of Europe, when they think of Europe, you know, they think of sitting on a posh balcony in Tuscany and like sipping a bit of Chianti. They've got this romantic vision.
There's a lot of shitlibs here that think of a similar thing. Yeah.
Well, the reality is the European Union itself is going to be overrun with fucking fascists before we even go back in. Like, they want to drag us back into the European Union, which is going to be overtaken by fascists or the yellow vests or just general chaos.
The reason I've always understood that that nationalists and right wingers did well in EU parliamentary elections is because it doesn't really matter that much. So it's like you can, it's sort of like you can do a protest vote through there. So like in your normal day-to-day, like Tories always pressure, I'm assuming, on the right, they pressure people, vote for us, because if you don't, Labour wins, and then it's like, oh, okay, so I have to vote for them. But then when it comes to EU parliamentary, it's like, I don't care, I'm just voting for the right-winger that I really want to win, so they actually do better. That's my understanding of how it works.
They've got no control over legislation. They just get stuff to rubber stamp. I don't actually know what they can and can't do, but it doesn't seem to be much, because there always has been sort of dissident right groups in the European Union.
Right.
I'm not sure what they're going to do different this time. But legislation is just the European Commission, which is just like sort of a Soviet Union type thing.
Right. That's not elected, right? People don't have any control over that.
Yeah.
So that's bullshit. That's such bullshit. It's like, here, you have to be subject to this body. And yeah, it has a parliament. Makes you think that you know, I remember Nigel Farage was always in there, and he won that seat for many years, and he was always in there just taking the piss out of everybody, but he was never really, you know, he couldn't do anything because there's no power.
I mean, there is part of that where like you get those Nigel Farage YouTube videos, and Nick Griffin did the best one as well, where he outright said, you're genociding the indigenous people of Europe, you're deliberately destroying them. And so what you'll see if they pull this off next month, you could see Sargon of Akkad in the European Parliament. Like,
oh my god!
You're talking about feminism and gaming.
Yeah,
Sargon,
and Count Dankula as well, and Count Dankula in the like the member of European Parliament, and they'd be sort of standing there taking the piss out of all the Guy Verhofstadt and the EU Commission type people.
I mean that's pretty funny, but it's like, what? I am rooting for Sargon. Now, I know that Sargon is still doing his, I'm assuming he's still doing his classical liberal shtick, right? That's the thing he does. Yeah. Like,
according to Tim Pool, I watched a Tim Pool video on his candidacy list.
Oh, yeah, what did Tim Pool have to say?
Oh, boy.
Well, he was just saying that that Sargon does self-describe as classically liberal.
He's not racist.
And anti-feminist.
Okay. Very edgy stuff there.
Yeah.
I mean, does Sargon even talk about Islam? I mean, that's like...
Yeah, he does, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, he does.
All right. Yeah. Because it's not liberal, though. That's the thing that
That's funny
me.
When he like talks to our people, like he downplays like the Rotherham stuff. Like, remember he pretended like the Muslim rape...
correctly... His older videos, he talked extensively about Islam.
I don't know. He must have just been changing his face for the sake of debate. He was like changed his position, like the Muslims were just filling a market demand and raping.
Just when
girls.
I started like liking him again after his video, you're making me like annoyed at
you. Like I obviously it was just opportunist to like troll whoever. What was it? I think it was talking to Anglin. I can't remember.
Well, yeah, his debate with Anglin was just might have complete just garbage fire. Yeah. That was just a total shit show. Yeah. But yeah,
the problem all of these figures have got with Tommy Robinson as well is that their audience is becoming much more sympathetic to our kind of views,
yes.
And so they are constantly being called out for being cooks, and they've got to find a way around that. I mean, Tommy Robinson did this concert thing a month or two back where he took on the BBC, and it was all to do with a hit piece. And I watched the live stream on YouTube, and you know the little chat that goes up at the side, about 80% of the, that was about, I think it was about 5,000 people there at this thing, but about 80% of the chat were calling Tommy Robinson a Zionist chill. Everybody knows, and I don't know how much longer they can keep this up. So they're constantly having to watch to their right flank and not cook. How much more juice, how much more edgy juice can you squeeze out of the classic liberal orange? I don't know. It's really borderline. I mean, I was on the Hope Not Hate website for like far-right racism or whatever in Britain this year, and Sargon was on there too.
Of course he is, yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, it seems like that is a completely dead. I mean, it's like there's no life in that ideology. But there's no excitement in it.
Isn't going any further to the right than what they say, like literally punishable with jail time over there? I mean, or is that just a meme that we hear about on this side of the pond? And it's just like certain things you could say, they just throw you. Like I saw somewhere that like downloading, viewing certain content could land somebody up to 15 years in prison. I saw that the other day. I don't know what the... details on that war, but it just seems like there's this ridiculous... Unless that's all fake to keep people hemmed in.
It is, especially if you go after an individual. Then they come down and you're like a ton of bricks. Yeah. So if you want to say something about Islam, you've got to kind of mention the religion as a whole and not say that somebody's an Islamic politician is motivated by Islam. Then you get into trouble.
That's kind of funny because, well, you can't get in legal trouble for anything like that in the U.S. They get mad.
Here you're just getting trouble for saying a Jewish politician was motivated.
What happens is you just get disappeared. Like you just get removed from the public stage unless you can promote yourself. But the thing here is that you get in trouble is like you people don't like it when you group everything. Like if you do like a criticism of Islam as a whole, like that's when you'll get criticism. You could say there's a big. I mean, look, because people can say pretty much whatever they want without legal repercussions here, people do say a lot of shit. So, you know, there's a whole contingent of boomers that think Ilhan Omar is, like, going to blow something up. I mean, literally, literally think this. But we've got our first taste. See, here we have this woman, I don't know if you've probably heard of this woman, Ilhan Omar, who's been calling out AIPAC and such. Yeah. Who's one of the first Muslim women in Congress here. I think you've been having Muslim women in Parliament for a while now.
We have. And an example of the hate speech laws would be Sargon's mate, Count Dankula, with the Nazi pug thing.
Yeah.
Where, do you know about that story?
Yeah.
So he's also running for the, and what they got him on there was hate speech. And that was the whole religion. That was the Jewish, the Jews in general.
Mm-hmm.
And because they found it offensive, even though it was left-wing groups that brought it to their attention, and then they got offended about it.
Yeah, I mean, who cares? I remember, though, that's really funny. Count Dankula, again, like, some of these guys, like, I don't agree with their politics, but they're not
terrible. That's interesting. Wait a minute.
At the banter. So,
yeah.
Let me just finish this one story, Alex. So Count Dankula, the funniest thing that guy ever did, outside the court when he was in his court date for that thing with the thing, some reporter was asking about it. He's like, well, don't you think context matters? And the reporter's like, what context? What context could saying Heil Hitler, what context could that matter? And he's like, well, you just said it. And then he like walked away. I was dying. Sometimes you give these guys credit. They've got some pretty good banter. Anyway, sorry, Alex.
So essentially, I mean, he does this joke, right? Like he has a dog like saluting Hitler. And then you were saying that the left-wing media or left-wing outlets amplified this. So essentially what the scenario is you could do a Heil Hitler by yourself inside your room, and if someone has video of that and it makes it out into the world, you've committed hate speech.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly how it works. Mm-hmm. It's mind-bending, like it's fucking nuts. But if somebody thinks they have been targeted, then it's automatically hate speech. They don't have to prove that it was intended. It's up to them.
That's some bullshit. Well, remember what they did to Dan Cleave, who was just talking to some of his friends on Skype, and he pulled out, he showed his gun off and stuff like that, but like it was whatever, it was just college kid edgy stuff. I know, maybe
he wasn't doing it to intimidate.
No, he was like bragging about his gun and like saying stuff about like his moves.
I know it's kind of grug, but if like that kind of behavior was done by perhaps a young aspiring rapper for like marketing purposes, it would be like ignored.
If they would love it. Like, no, wow, this authentic. It would be a music video.
Yeah, this authentic gangster here talking about. We all gotta be violent, yo.
His album cover.
Here's my most likely illegal.
And the funny thing was that even after he did that, he was like telling these guys, like, oh, but I'm against violence. It's bad. Like, we shouldn't do it. And he got, nothing happened to him. Well, he got kicked out of school.
I didn't realize Dan Cleave was such a cuck.
No, like, he got kicked. He ended up getting kicked out of school, but they had like a security officer like following him around. And it wasn't to protect him, even though he was the one that was truly in danger.
Yeah.
It was to supposedly protect the other students from him. And because of course that's all bullshit. And now of course it was our good pal that now works for the SPLC, prestigious institution, that was the one that set him up and got him in all the trouble. But yeah, no, it's like he basically showed his friends his gun on a private Skype call. Somehow the video of this gets out and the leftist Antifa went after him, and they destroyed his college career. I mean, congratulations. So, yeah.
The Comandangelo, he pleaded not guilty. He when I went to court, he said because he didn't intend that to target a group. It was just a stupid joke. And so they fined him £800. I think that's about $1,100. And he wouldn't pay it. He was going to go to jail. He'd go to jail for maybe 2 months. Mm-hmm. But it was like a sort of point of principle. And what happened was they didn't want that to blow up. So the government went into his bank account and just took the £800
out of
his bank account.
I took it off. That's a... see, they can do stuff like that, but that's such a load of... Wow, that's so annoying when they do that, because you're like, at least put me in jail. Like, this is the thing. Yeah. It won't give you the dignity of doing the political protest. That's what is bullshit about this. And see, in the U.S., we don't actually have, as you know, there's like no such thing technically as hate speech or any of that. But when they go after you, that doesn't mean political people aren't targeted. They are. But they'll never tell you. They don't give you the dignity of saying it's for your politics.
Mm-hmm.
It's because of Dan Cleave's politics, that's why they went after him for showing his gun in a Skype video. And he didn't even get in legal trouble because he's allowed to have a gun.
Right.
The issue is that he is like intimidating other students on campus with Ram. Like, they, again, we've talked about this, ad infinitum, but like they weren't not charged with political crimes. They're charged with stupid, like, street rioting or something. But they never did that either, but they won't give you the dignity of telling you, yeah, this is politics. Because if they do, then they make you a hero, and they don't want to do that.
That's very telling that they put him in jail. This is the same reason that public executions and torture went away, because they're afraid of inflaming the population if they do that.
I mean, if they put Count Dankula in jail, he would have made a shit show out of the whole thing. He would have made them look terrible. So, of course, they didn't do it.
But, yeah. So you don't even get to sort of play out the role of a dissident, because they just take the money from your bank account.
But they still get their justice.
Let you go.
Or him, I would have like he could have like foreseen it and just like emptied his bank account.
Who gets the £800? Like, who's intimidated? Who's intimidated by the pug? And who's owed
complaining party here?
Yeah, right. Like, who's the victim? Like, if they give that £800, that just like collectively goes to like the people.
It just disappears. It goes to pay down the fake debt, so it just disappears into the ether. It's not there. Yeah,
it's just a deflationary.
Just deflationary offset. Trend. Yeah, so he helped deflate the economy at least.
It is funny to see them, because these are like the big stars of UKIP now, and they're like the sort of the lefty shitheads in the press. They call him Nazi Pugman, Nazi Pugman, and now Sargon's rape tweet guy.
Yeah. Right, so can we get that up? We got that. I think
you want a rape tweet?
Let's do the rape tweet. Let's do. Oh,
I can't believe we're back. I can't believe we're back to when I saw this.
This tweet is what, like,
my question.
God, I love Twitter's video interface.
It's so bad.
Like, it never plays when I'm ready for it to go.
Why is it so hard for Twitter's video player?
I don't know.
I guess they didn't
foresee people doing like video podcasts while using their
dude. But even so, the whole like play the video immediately, that's really annoying. Like,
plays immediately with no sound. You touch anything and the sound comes on.
Yeah, why play a video with no sound? It's all
anyway. Here we go.
I think you can turn that off in your settings.
Here's our pal Carl Benjamin.
Yeah.
Let me finish my question. Mr. Batten suggested earlier that if I would like to hold his candidate to account, I should turn up at your press conference and ask the question.
Okay.
So I would like to ask Carl Benjamin why you think it is acceptable to say on Twitter that you wouldn't even rape a female Labour MP.
Is he supposed to say I will rape you!
No, I think the idea is that he's not supposed to make a light of rape.
Yes, I know. I can't believe it's like 2008 and Patrice O'Neill.
I can't believe... He said he wouldn't rape someone.
Yeah, it's back to Patrice. Remember John Gibson and Patrice O'Neill and these feminists, like, because he made a rapity rape joke on O&A, and like suddenly, you can't joke about rape. I'm like, sure you can.
No, I mean, I don't.
Such an old, like, settled issue.
Dude,
like, everybody's over it.
But. The best thing is telling a woman you wouldn't rape her. Then she gets mad. Interestingly, how that makes
that's
them
how
mad.
This worked. Yeah.
Interestingly, that makes the mess. Like, well, I'm just telling you, I respect your bodily autonomy.
And her response to when that happened, like, was waking up to like 600 notifications about not raping her. She's like, Twitter is dead. It's like, no, honey, Twitter's like alive and kicking. It's like you're like turgid, shitty.
Your personality, your online persona is what's dead.
You're, like, this whole like ideology of is dead.
I don't think when there are any difference in the way that we should treat them,
unlike the establishment, unlike our judges, who literally say, if you were a man, I would send you to jail, I think we should treat women the same as men. And that means if a woman is being a giant and laughing at male suicide, I'm going to be a giant back to her. Any questions?
So it's acceptable, yes. It is acceptable to joke about raping a woman.
Deal with it.
Nice.
I'm a professional.
So now the thing is,
well done.
In my opinion, that's gonna make Sargon just like more popular with people on the right.
Of course,
because the people, they don't share this bullshit piety that these journalists have about. Oh, you can't say this. You can't. Those are all rules that nobody had any say in, that no one gives a shit about.
Right.
I don't care about your stupid speech like rules. Like no one cares about it, and people on the right hate the media so much. That, like,
journalists have become their own priest class. That's what I feel like when I read
they have stuff. And the thing that they don't get is that it is increasingly becoming a tactic for people, and someone who's you know Shyster can do this too. Make the public debate a battle between yourself and the shitlib press, and you will get popularity on the right. It's like a guarantee. Yeah. Trump is like the fucking the case study on this. And he won by doing that, and you know he's a cuck. But you know other people can follow that example, and it will. And whether you're based or a cuck or whatever, it will work for you. People will like it.
Yeah, that's what it is. He said it. He said, "I've seen what Trump did. Mm-hmm. He just trigger the libshits and get everybody to laugh at them for being absurd, and reel in the votes." And that's what he's doing.
Yeah, look at these triggered snowflakes.
Yeah.
Like that will work. I mean, the thing is though that's still a step forward in terms of the total public thing. So like we were doing this, we've been doing this for years. I don't know how long we've been doing this. Basically pushing these people's buttons and getting them to get mad and look like idiots. Like we've been doing this 7-8 years now.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so it works, but now it's like actually a political we should actually be proud of ourselves. It's now like a political strategy that people do. And of course the lipshits, because they can't help with their preachy bullshit, they're going to keep doing their thing. They're going to keep doing their part in this. They haven't caught on. Mm-hmm. So, or they have and they just can't stop themselves. I don't know. I mean, like that bitch, do you think there's anything that could rein that stupid cunt in from doing what she did to No. He said it's acceptable to joke about rape. He should have just said, shut up, cunt. And like people probably would have loved it.
I mean, the headlines were actually that rape tweet guy refuses to apologize. That was what pissed them off the most. It was the non-apology.
Yeah, right.
I'm not going to apologize to you folks.
That he did learn from Trump.
People do appreciate that.
Yeah.
Well, because of the apology.
That's the most important component in all this is not apologizing.
That's a confession, man.
When they're mad.
The non-apology is the key, because if you apologize, as we've said many times,
that just moves the football a couple yards and they get to continue
it's
the story.
Like, it's
with,
like blood
with
in the water
destroying you.
They're a pack of sharks and that's blood in the water. The apology is blood in the water. And so if you don't give it to them, then they have to keep pressing you for it. Like, because someone got mad at me on Twitter because I said no journalist is going to come at Sargon like this again. Now it's not that no journalist is going to come at Sargon. He's going to face a lot of criticism in the press, but no one is going to try and do that kind of thing on that topic to him again, because he's not going to apologize. So what are you going to get out of it? You're going to get the same thing again. Now they could set that up if they want to keep playing that little scenario out again and again, but he's going to get stronger and stronger every time they do. He's gonna be like, we've been over this.
Yeah,
what, this again, you know? And so how what can they do? You know, they can't. He totally, if you apologize and they can keep pressing you for more and more shit. If you're just like, no, fuck you.
Yeah, you apologize, like, that wasn't good enough. I don't think you really meant it. Did you really? And it just keeps going and going and going, and like, it just spirals and spirals until you're just, there's nothing left of it.
If you apologize, it's like, well, what are you going to do to make up for it?
Right.
You're like, oh, okay, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have made it. Okay, well, are you going to do anything for women to make up for this now, Sargon?
Yeah, I'm going to continue not raping them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think women probably deeply appreciate that, but when it comes to...
I think the rape tweet that I wouldn't even rape you is actually, as far as the strategy goes, that I wouldn't even rape you was probably a bad example of digging in, because a lot of people will be, yeah, I get it. I get it that he's telling the sort of the journalists to go fuck themselves, but it is something a bit weird. If it was that he said something a bit dodgy about Jews or Muslims or what black crime or some issue like that, I think it would be like more obvious to people that they had to get behind him. And he has said the N-word on a stream, which got him kicked off Patreon. And it's funny to me that they didn't pick up on that, but they did pick up on the rape tweet thing.
You can say the N-word on this show. But if you don't want to because of where you are, that's understandable.
I'm in the North Korea of political correctness. N-word's fine.
Yeah, so we can say it, though. you can appear on a stream where someone else says it, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So maybe nigger.
Sargon just really likes Nirvana. Maybe that's why he was talking about it.
Nigger alarm.
The freedom.
I wasn't going to use it because I didn't want to get him in trouble.
The land of the free here in America where we can say nigger.
We can say nigger, and then we can lose our jobs. And
yeah. You can't participate in the economy anymore. But you can say nigger.
Anyway. Yeah, you're just fucked. I mean, you get docs, and then they go after the job as well. So you got people like Millennial Wars or Count Dankula as well, are saying, I don't know what you want. You're trying to get my YouTube channel shut down. You didn't manage to get me put in jail. And then I try and get a proper job. I can't do that because you've got me pissed all over your websites as a fucking Nazi. What am I supposed to do?
Well, for the Antifa, the Jay Left, as we call them, that's their intention. You're not supposed to have... Because basically they think you should die, but they don't have the courage to just cut your throat themselves. So they're like, we think you should just be blacklisted from the entire economy so that you starve to death, or you have to be a burden to a family member or something like that, even though you're perfectly capable of working and supporting yourself. We're going to make sure that literally nobody will touch you, and not even necessarily because they care about what you said, but because they're afraid of us.
That's why I'm going to vote for Yang Bucks and more social welfare.
Well, yeah, that's actually a very good reason to support something like UBI, because they can't just take your UBI from you. Although Antifa and the J Left, I'm sure, would lobby for something where if you're a Nazi, you don't get it. But it's like, well, fuck you. Felons get it. People that shot somebody would get it. So fuck you.
If they make fun of you for being on welfare, just be like, yeah, I'm government sponsored, bitch.
Yeah, be like, yeah.
Pays me money to sit around and say nigger all day.
Yeah, I sit around and I say nigger, and the government puts money in my bank account. What are you going to do?
That's kind of like where Jeremy Corbyn and the left, the Labour left, if they get in, it'll just be free money for everybody. That would be because they'd be so, the welfare programs would just be so extensive that you could just sit around peddling hate on the internet all day and get paid for it. And he's going to take the money to do that off big business as well in London, which is why
they're a good deal to me.
Yeah, I mean, you are going to pay a price for that, and it's that you're going to have. In the local councils and the local governments, you're going to have nuttiest feminist intergender fucking trash lecturing you every time you go in to get your money. But eventually we're going to get there anyway.
Just don't rape them and you're fine.
Amazon so that I can say nigger on the internet? That would be great.
You have to not rape them and also not say that you won't rape them.
So I'm glad you mentioned Jeremy Corbyn, because if you could run down if you could give us like the very quick summation of the anti-Semitism row in Labour, because we actually heard about that over here.
Is it row or row?
Is it row or row? What do they say over there? Row or row?
Over here, it's row.
Row. Okay. So an anti-Semitism row.
Row. Well, on the British left, there's always been an anti-Zionist element. Mm-hmm. I mean, you think back to like the neocon wars, and you had George Galloway.
Oh, I was following George Galloway back then. Yeah, I liked him back then.
Yeah, and
he's a Muslim fucking shill, but he says some good things occasionally.
He's in support of Nigel Farage's Brexit party now, because he sees it as being the best way to fuck over, you know, the global finance.
The Jews.
So he like jump all over. He'll jump all over the map to sort of rage at the Zionist war machine. He doesn't give a shit who he has to support. Well, he would never support the BNP.
Stryker and George Galloway would like love each other. Like he jumps all over the map to go after the our good friends in global finance. He loves Muslims. He's like Stryker's best fucking guy. Sorry, I'm just making fun of my friend, but no, I mean, George Galloway is funny because, yeah, he is like this lefty guy, but yeah, he does seem to, he's got to be woke to the J question. I mean, it seems pretty obvious to me that he is.
Yeah, he is. I mean, and people look at what he likes on Twitter because he's getting on. you can go to his Twitter feed and you can see that there's people saying, you know, it's a Zionist media, and he'll give it the odd like. You can kind of sniff him out quite easy because he's old. But yeah, that sort of anti-Zionist element on the British left, what's happening is that they flooded the Labour Party with Muslims, and the two of them are getting together and sort of conspiring and being more and more pro-Palestinian. And the sort of the Blairite, mainly Jewish, like Luciana Berger, who's well-known over there, and a lot of the shills as well, is a more sort of centrist neoliberal Labour.
Yeah.
And they're effectively being purged by Corbyn and the old school sort of anti-Zionist. They're called, the Corbyn movement's called Momentum. And mm-hmm. they're really anti, and of course they're being called anti-Semites. And Corbyn, I mean, you know, it's like I was talking to Stryker a few weeks back, and there was this thing where they had a mural painted in London, and it was all these hook-nosed bankers, and they had like claws. They called it urban art, and they had these like claws, like a fucking vulture or something, like digging into the earth. And Jeremy Corbyn was like, "Yeah, this is great. This is great. I want you to have an award." And they got fucking nuts. They went absolutely berserk because of that. And they were all saying, "That's us. That's us in the mural. That's Jewish people."
And they do this. Do you hear this thing about this Harry Potter exhibit?
Oh, with the Harry Potter bankers?
Yeah, there's like some character in Harry Potter that's like a goblin looking banker that's like clutching gold coins. And like they did like a wax Harry Potter, someplace in London, they did like some wax Harry Potter exhibit where the characters are in wax, and they're like freaking out. So is that, just search like Harry Potter goblin banker. That's like that's what you're gonna want to do. Here, I'll get it for you.
Oh, good, really, really. I've already got it. Just keep talking.
All right, but yeah, it's like the wax exhibit is literally this guy like clutching gold coins. It's pretty funny, and yeah, of course, Jews jump right in and they're like, "This is us." It's pretty funny. It was in the Guardian. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But
there it is.
There it is. There it is. That's it. That's it right there. Oh, yeah, bring that up.
I love how it shows it to you in the smallest thumbnail possible.
I know.
Let's see if we can blow it up to decent size. And now it's nice and pixelated.
Yeah, now it's nice and it's
nice and grungy.
So they do this. They tend to sell
piles of gold.
I'll be honest with you. I see a Jew I look at that.
Absolutely.
They're not wrong. Like, that's the funny thing. They're not wrong.
Yeah.
Now Morgoth doesn't have to chime in with his opinion on that.
Feel when you're strategically silent. That feel when you're so anti-Semitic that you're like, "What do you mean? He just looks like a banker. I don't know. That's what bankers look like."
Yeah, it's just like this is just what they're like.
What's his religion have to do with his appearance?
Well, that's what J.K. Rowling said, and then some Jewish columnists in the Guardian said like it's not okay to just let this go.
We have to Streisand effect the shit out of this.
Well, that's the funny thing.
That's always their strategy.
Well, the thing is that for them, what she said was she actually made, it's funny because she actually used, before I read the article, I was like, I made a couple tweets about why a non-anti-Semite would create an image like this. And I'm like, because this is part of the European subconscious. This archetype is part of our collective subconscious. It's part of our racial memory, if you will. Like, we know this. This is a trope for a reason. This is there for a reason. It is embedded in our brains, and Jews want to unembed it. So That's why they do it, because they say they see a creator that does this. And J.K. Rowling's not an anti-Semite. She's one of the worst shitlibs to ever walk the face of the earth. So she is using this image just because her writing is derivative trash, and so she can't come up with anything original. So of course she uses like a age old trope, but it's there. The trope is there for a reason.
Yeah.
But they want her to understand that trope is in her brain, that it's anti-Semitic, and not to use it. Like, J.K., we know you're a really lazy, shitty writer, but please, this stereotype, don't. You can use other ones that don't affect us, but don't use this one. Because this one's bad. This one we want to purge from the European subconscious. That's my view, at least on some level. I don't know if it's all well thought out like that, but I feel like that's what's going on.
Yeah, right? I think it's that. I think it's that as well, yeah. I think her go-to image of a kind of greedy, manipulating banker looks like that.
It looks like a Jew. It looks like a little goblin.
There's nothing you can do.
That's everybody's go-to. except for Hollywood. Like, what was that? It was a movie I watched a long time ago. Not a long time ago, a few years ago, about some guys from Texas that were like robbing banks to pay their like mortgage or their tax debt or something on their ranch, and everybody acted as if like the banking industry was this like Anglo, this WASPy like good old boys network. It's like, well,
there's a great video from Occupy Wall Street where this one-eyed homeless black guy starts saying it's the Jews. And like, and the funny thing is, now at Occupy Wall Street, they're all supposed to be so open-minded and progressive stack.
Come on, Ron Paul.
Blacks get to blacks get to speak ahead of whites and all that stuff at the Occupy. But this guy comes in, he's like, here, I got something to say, and all of a sudden he's surrounded by what appear to be screaming white people telling him, No, it's the Anglos. And I'm like, wait. If we're not supposed to racialize bankers or ethnicize bankers, why is it any better to say it's Anglos than Jews? And so all
it's
these
not Jews.
Well, it's funny because it's hate to say it's Jews, but it's not hate. According to them, if it's hate to say it's Jews, it would be hate to say it's Anglo-Saxons, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, no.
You would think. No, you're always allowed to shit on Anglo-Saxons.
Yeah.
Just like you're always allowed to shit on Germans. You're always allowed to shit on white people, yes. No matter what. You know, you can accuse them of all the evils you want. So, and it's so funny because this is actually, when we were debating Bronx Blogger, he wouldn't acknowledge that there was like any Jewish people in finance. He was like, I was like, what about like Goldman Sachs? And he's like, well, that's actually run by Anglos. I was like, all right, guy, like maybe it's time for a little sit down. I don't know. But yeah. That, I don't know if you'll ever be able to find.
I don't
that
know.
Video.
I'm googling, but like I don't. That think it's
video
happen.
Is
that
deep,
video is
deep
so
in the archives.
Funny.
I think it's the only PS. I think it's saved on like Stryker's hard drive. He's like the only guy that actually has it.
He's like
Kevin. Yeah,
guy's like crying.
Look at Ron Paul. Oh, because of Google Ron Paul. Yeah, but it's interesting to me how that the progressive stack goes out the window. Suddenly, like a homeless, one-eyed black guy is like the evil oppressor. Mm-hmm. Because he shows up at Occupy Wall Street and he's like, yeah.
Well, the top of the stack is the Jews. So
they're always
why.
At the top of the stack. Yeah, so that's something yeah. that I think people that like a lot of people on the right that like to people like Sargon.
Well, it's like what
they like to talk about SJWs and they want to analyze the progressive stack. They should understand, well, who's always at the top. See, mm-hmm. I don't believe that Sargon doesn't know this stuff either.
No, he knows it.
He knows all this stuff. We knew it
because BuzzFeed raided his Discord server.
Oh, yes. So tell this story here. This
oh,
is
yeah,
good
I
stuff.
Saw this. They got his Discord. Wow, what a shocker. Another Discord server goes down.
Wow, another Discord server that left us get their grubby little hands all over every message.
Happening.
Yeah. How does it keep happening? But so what? They had some, I believe they had some coolant with the anti-Semitic remarks. Mm. In the Sargon Discord.
Yeah, that's BuzzFeed got in there and they took a load of screenshots and it was just, see, what they said, it was just wall-to-wall white supremacy and anti-Semitism. It was an obvious hit piece because he's under a lot of shit. He's taking a lot of pressure, a lot of heat from the liberal media because he's running for UKIP. Mm. And being a shitlord while he does it, as he would say. And so, yeah, they're going to go back through his Discord, and it's crawling with white nationalists talking about Jews.
Now, here's my prediction of how his excuses can be. It's just a few rabble-rousers. I don't know. Or he's going to say it's just a few people. I can't possibly monitor every comment.
It's a Discord server.
It's a Discord server. What do you want me to do?
It was for
you
soliciting.
You want me to edit every comment?
It was for soliciting subscriptions on my Patreon.
And Sargon does kind of have that British uptalk thing, or at least he used to. I don't know. Maybe he's fixed it so he doesn't do that anymore.
It's not going to work.
Well, he has a perfect. The funny thing it's a perfectly reasonable explanation. If they want to like ask me, like, is it's like no, guys, trust me, Sargon's not like an anti-Semitic white nationalist. So, but I mean, that's not useful for their headlines over there. So.
Well, I would say this: Sargon has chosen a particular political line.
Mm-hmm.
He is not in any sense in the dark about the kinds of things we talk about, though.
Well, you got to ruin it.
My favorite, if I can just read it, I've got it up here, that was found in his Discord, was...
Be careful, don't break any laws in your country by reading this. Don't break the law.
This is what a white supremacist said on Sargon's Discord server.
Right, this isn't you. To do with me. You're just quoting.
All right. Contest!
There is a reason over 100 nations have had to remove Jewish people. Have you ever heard the saying, if it smells like shit everywhere you go, maybe it's time to check your own shoe?
That's pretty good.
It's free speech. Free speech is a classic liberal value. There you go. The benefits of free speech there.
Hmm. Well, that's what
was weird.
This is why they hate free speech, right? I mean, let's be honest. I mean, they're trying to get rid of free speech here too, and they're trying to get it through with some kind of hate speech thing, or basically what they want to do
terrorism.
I don't think they could ever like regulate the First Amendment. I think that's too much of a part of the political consciousness here that we have free speech. They couldn't punish you just for speech, but what they do want to do is if you do anything else. If they can get you on any other thing, and you also have done hateful things, and like so for example, say that like, and this is why I always, I don't even want to use myself as an example. Say there's a guy who's known for edgy commentary on the internet, and he gets into an altercation. Somebody bumps into him. Someone starts something with him. Somebody he gets into a car accident or something, words are exchanged, maybe people are pushing a little bit back and forth. He's all of a sudden, that's going to be all hate crimes, right? Like, that's why, you know, in a book that I'm writing, there was a time when this almost happened to a guy, and he made sure to get the hell out of the area quickly and let the people behind him do whatever. This was years ago in a book that's totally fictional. But like that's basically what you would have to do here if you're known for saying things like a Richard Spencer type. He would never be able to even if say he were jumped by blacks on the street, he couldn't defend himself, because if he did, everything you would get every single punch he threw would be a hate crime enhancement. He'd probably get federal crimes for that. So that's the bind you're in here. So that's how they're limiting speech here, and a lot of people, rather than risk that, would just shut up.
Yeah, that's part of the point of the far left media and Antifa is just paint a target on you in such a way that you have no option to defend yourself. Like you're just an open, easy mark for anyone.
And because
that
of your politics, if you get attacked and defend yourself, now you're a neo-Nazi rioter, right? Yeah. Like that's why they do it. That's what they do. They go and they target people whose speech they don't like. They try to get them into fights. If the person fights back, then they go to jail for rioting and conspiracy and every other kind of thing.
Yeah. And then they'll write articles gloating about it. I mean, these people are enemies.
And that's why there's no street activism in the U.S. anymore, which, you know, that in my opinion, is a shame. It's a shame that our First Amendment, we don't have authorities that will defend our rights to go out and assemble in the streets, and that we have to worry about this exact problem, which is that we will get entrapped in some kind of legal crap. Because we want to have a perfectly legal protest that they will do this thing again and again and again, and it'll keep working, and that the president won't do anything about it.
Well, if there was an elite that was allowing organization in the streets, we would just win by default because a street organization is fake.
Yes, that's I understand that
the trick
you're
is
on
we
board
need to
with
just
that
do
narrative.
A pro Israel protest. That's our next step.
What?
Pro-Israel protests in clown suits.
This when Antifa attacks us, they will all go to jail.
I mean, I see your point there. I don't want to get into a debate on that issue. I think that's true within a certain thing. Like, there was a time when we did do street protests and nothing happened. But that's only because...
Well, it's just because they caught up to it. They didn't want you doing it.
Right, no. That's eventually they adjusted their program to account for our ability to do that, and they came up with a way to stifle it, and they did in a big way. So, I mean, Charlottesville might not have been the best venue to try a big, huge protest. I mean, Washington, D.C. might be better because... It would be much harder for them to start a riot there, but yeah. Anyway,
I don't know if you saw, but we've got. There's been like left wing activists blocking off London for the last few days, and they're calling themselves Extinction Rebellion or something. Like, and they're like,
wait, you sir, that's left wing.
Who? Yeah, who are we extincting?
Yeah, it's
full extra rebellion.
They're against the eco warriors. And they've blocked all the streets of London off, and they've got these like hippie camps all over the place. And awesome. What they've done today is block off Heathrow Airport. And it's fucking crazy because, I mean, Emma Thompson flew back from Los Angeles 5,500 miles on a jumbo jet.
To be part
to block
of this.
Off Heathrow Airport for equal reasons and the environment. Are you fucking kidding me? And the police... They've actually caused trouble, and the police are there, and they're skateboarding with all these fucking hippies blocking off Heathrow Airport. Whereas a few months ago, we've been robbed of Brexit, and a few thousand people go down and say, "Where's the democracy here? We chose to leave Brexit, and we're still in it." And then they call it a far right riot.
Virtue signaling is the worst sin of white people. That is literally the worst fucking thing we do. It's so insufferable.
But this Extinction Rebellion, just so everyone knows, I've looked into this group. We did a thing on them a little while ago when we were looking at an Antifa website that was they was talking about how the right. I remember we did this is several months ago. It's all coming back to me now. But there was this Antifa blog. I can't remember which one it was now, but I distinctly remember this article. Well, the guy was talking about something like how the right has hijacked the idea of rebellion, street action, etc. And like compare the idea of a bunch of racists going out on the street to protest that their First Amendment rights are being violated to this great protest movement in the UK that's popping up where it's like a legitimate thing like Extinction Rebellion. And the thing is, I hadn't heard of this before. But they had a whole, it's a completely corporate astroturfed group. So I don't know what policies they're going for, but this is like, there's money being poured into this. And I remember looking at the website and I was like, this is very slick professional graphic design, very corporate in its look. You remember this, Alex?
I remember this.
And yeah. I was like, what the hell is this crap? And it wasn't even a thing. And they were talking about how people were like blocking streets, and this was months ago, and I guess they were smaller, and now they've coordinated a larger action. But this is pure Antifa astroturf. Like, the people that are doing this are college kids, upper middle class, wealthy, totally either in training to be members of the elite or guardian readers types. You know, this is literally upper class anarchist bullshit, like privileged kid bullshit, and. That's what it is, and the fucking cops are there, like, or the bobs, as they call them, bobbies, are there, like, dancing with these people. It looks like, they look like a bunch of assholes, too. But yeah,
they're
it's
riding
funny.
Skateboards. The police are riding skateboards.
This Where I come great. From, the police break your balls for riding a skateboard.
Yeah.
That's the meta-narrative here is, you gotta listen to us, our tiny little fringe group of protesters going on about the environment, but... The Brexit stuff, nah, just ignore that.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was actually Brexit. I think this Antifa was talking about London, and they were talking about how Tommy Robinson and the Brexiteers were, like, co-opting the idea of street protest, whereas look at a real, authentic, legitimate street protest movement.
Well, yeah, look at
this Extinction Rebellion. I was like...
You look at one that has the backing of the cops and the entire...
Look at one that has literally the backing of the corporate... No, this shit is corporate astroturf, I swear to God. Mm-hmm. I don't know who it is that's doing it, and I don't know what their agenda is, but there's some big business agenda here, and these people are too stupid to know that they're pawns.
Well, it's a fucking simulation of a protest.
I can't tell who's behind this.
Did you...
I mean, that ultimately, yes. But
the thing is, if you're going to save the world, if you're going to change the raise and lower the levels of the sea and save the ice caps, you need a one world government to do it. And the European Union's a good place to start there.
Exactly, exactly. And on top of that, the other issue is with climate change is this, have you probably heard this term, climate refugee? Have you heard this?
Yeah, I've heard this, yeah.
So now they're saying, like, oh, Whitey made the weather so bad in the bottom half of the globe. All these people just got to come north now. Just send them north. They're taken care of. It's, you owe them. You ruined the climate.
Good.
In Africa.
Good.
It wasn't hot there before. Now it's just too hot. It's too hot for
Africa,
niggers.
Too hot for TV.
Africa, Blood and Guts. You ever see that movie?
No. I'm just thinking, you know what makes Africa too hot is all those necklacing lynchings that they do.
Yeah, all those people pouring gasoline on each other and light them up. That makes it a little bit warmer.
Warms up the climate.
You're going to get some carbon emissions.
Oh, I'm sorry. Those are isolated weather events, right? The difference between weather and climate, except in the distinction is whatever is convenient for our shitty narrative about global.
I'll tell you what, though, every time they necklace somebody in South Africa, there's a lot of carbon emissions that come off of that.
It's a lot of
CO2 into the atmosphere, believe me.
Your carbon bulb head print. Show title right now. Carbon bulb head print.
Very good.
We'll do that.
Not bad.
It's not bad at all.
So you're probably not allowed to say that in Britain, but a bulb head is a Somalian.
Yes.
All right. Somebody don't steal that, no. We call the Afghan type sheep's heads.
Oh, that's interesting.
Well, do they play that game where they throw like a dead sheep around? I believe.
Yeah, it's because they've got tight curly hair, like a sheep.
Nappy headed hoes.
Got it.
Yeah, you've got
What other types of Middle Easterners have tight curly hair?
Oh God.
Yeah.
Well, this is a little bit more loose. They've got like the kind of like those
A Jerry curl version.
Yeah,
you know?
It's like a Jewy curl.
A Jewy curl.
There you go.
Jewy curl.
There you go. But yeah. You guys have a whole different variety of brown people in your country than we got here. It's like you got different species. We got blacks and Mexicans. You guys got all different. You got Sikhs, you got Pakis, you got Arabs.
Do we still like Sikhs? We still like Sikhs, right?
I mean, I don't know. I would ask Morgoth his opinion of Sikhs if he's allowed to speak about Sikhs in general terms. I believe you're allowed to.
They generally, you don't hear much about them, actually. You don't.
They're like the least bad.
There's that principle of, they're a non-white group and that they're in our country, so you can take that side of it. But generally, in the sort of cultural discourse and stuff, they're nowhere near as problematic, as the lefties say.
Well, my understanding is also that they tend to take they tend to side with the right on some of these issues. Yeah. Certainly,
yeah, they do. Yeah, you tend to see them. Well, I mean, they're very patriarchal as well. You always see the men with the turbans, and you'll see one of them sort of in the Little England Shires with Nigel Farage in some village in Dorset talking about Brexit. They'll pop up there. They'll be on these sort of socially conservative circles, and they'll vote. I think they've got as far as voting conservative, or the moderate right, before it gets a little bit too hairy for them.
Nothing's too hairy for them. Ha! Adonis!
Yeah, they'll go along with that to a certain degree. They're sort of socially conservative, whereas the Muslims will always vote left and far left, because they can get far enough left to get to the anti-Zionist goal that they want, which is very deep on the far left.
So the Sikhs, are the Sikhs anti-Semitic? Are they anti-Zionist, or are they just... We don't know. We know they're anti-Muslim, right?
They probably keep that close to their...
That's specifically their job, right? Like their job is to be a counterweight against Muslims.
That was like literally where their tribe comes from.
Yeah, yeah.
They were literally born in like a battle against Muslims.
Yes.
That's where they even came from.
The Hindus were just being... The Hindus were pacific, so they were very gentle. And then when the Muslims invaded India, they were just going through the Hindus like a fucking lawnmower. And somebody stepped up and said, hey, we're gonna have to draw the line here, or we're just going to disappear.
Mm. Yeah, and...
Sikhs, to me, they seem like, in the social consciousness, kind of like Tibetan monks. And it's funny, you've got the same sort of situation with, like, well, which group plowed through both of them?
Well, the thing with Sikhs is also they have this, there's this warrior mystique about them. They have the dagger around their neck, and they always have a sword in their house and stuff like that. So they've got this, and they're, like, to be honest, I mean, we can nack salt if we want to. There is a historical connection with them in Britain, and I believe there's, like, you know, is it, what is it that the Britain has, like, certain battalions of the army that are made up of certain types of, these Asiatic peoples, you know.
Yeah, there's another one's the Gurkhas as well, which were from Tibet. So like, you get these sort of highly trained regiments of people from India and Tibet and former colonies on the empire. I mean, the Sikhs and the Tibetans, the Gurkhas, aren't anywhere on the progressive stack. You think, well, like you were saying before, where you've got, like, say, Jews and then Muslims and then blacks, so the Sikhs are nowhere on that. They're very low on that hierarchy.
Well, because they're not really going along with the left agenda. And my thought on that is because this is a relationship that came before anti-whiteness. So this is like a throw. So it's not like we can't see. I think sometimes maybe people get a little bit too reactionary on this. It's not that we can't have relationships with some of these people. We should in some ways. We just can't have this. We can't have it in the paradigm of anti-whiteness, and they can't be being used as like weapons against us. Like, I don't get the feeling that the relationship with Sikhs and Britain had an anti-white flavor to it. It was actually kind of the opposite, really. Mm-hmm. It was like a white supremacist, kind of imperialist kind of thing. And these people were like happy to work with whites because it was like a step up for them. Mm. It's like they were like, they always looked up to white people and they looked up to white Britons. And they're like, this is what we kind of aspire to be part of and like. And so that's a little bit different. So in a context of like a self-confident West, a self-confident Europe, self-confident Britain, like those kind of relationships can go on. It's not a problem because this is not us killing ourselves. We're just buddies with these type of Indians, whatever, you know.
Yeah,
that's my view on it.
Muslims and then the blacks that we've got, they were definitely brought in as a different agenda than the Sikhs. The Sikhs came in with the empire, really. And in India, they thousands of them had prominent managerial positions. And like I said before, regiments in the army, which were completely Sikh. And this was all sort of worked through and thought out by the British Empire. Whereas after World War II, you get something which is specifically designed to damage the white population. I think it comes in from somewhere else. But, you know, I can't say you can't.
Is it a small nation there in the, perhaps a small Levantine
nation? In the Levant?
Yes. But, I mean, that's the other thing is we could talk. Are we close to the hour? Are we hitting
We hit an hour.
Okay, so up against the hour. So we're going to take a quick break. We can go back into
another
packy roaming outside his zone.
Took me forever to find that. I love that.
They're out of containment.
Yeah. I like that they didn't know that was a slur when they made that film. That was really fun.
Well, Morgoth, are you aware of this issue with the latest Jurassic Park movie?
It's the one before. That's what that's from.
Yeah.
There's a scene where
they're talking about a pachycephalosaurus,
some kind of dinosaur, right? And there's a scene where they had to edit it for the UK release because of this.
I think they edited it from our release eventually too.
Yeah, they took it out of the US release eventually too because too many people caught on that was a slur in Britain. But like initially they didn't know. So he's like, the packies are out of containment.
Another
or whatever.
Packy roaming outside his zone.
That's the one roaming outside.
Oh, there's another one. There's another one where, what's his face? The guy that is the lead character in those movies. He says the packies are out of containment. Anyway, it's pretty funny.
I don't think that one. I think it's just that one.
Oh, maybe. All right. I don't know.
That was the one.
What's the name of that actor? He was in the stupid comedy
Owen
show.
Benjamin. No.
Owen Wilson.
Owen Wilson. No.
What is that guy's name?
The guy,
Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt. Yeah,
there's one where Chris Pratt's like, he says like the packies are out of containment. Anyway, whatever. We're up against the hour. Let's take a quick break.
Wait, I thought the hour's up against
us.
Want
me to drop out, or shall I take a piss and come back?
If you want to come back, it's your more.
Yeah, we're all going to take a piss and come back.
Yeah, we're all going to take a piss and be back in 5 minutes.
I'm trying to make this happen. Yeah, it can happen.
I'll find it. We'll find it during the break.
I don't think that's a thing. But anyway, where's my video controls now? Yeah, we will be right back with Morgoth.
You're listening to TDS on the right stuff.
Dot biz.
And we're back. But we lied again. Morgoth is not back. So thank you, Morgoth.
It's
Morgoth's
a run.
Review.
I think he's going fishing.
He's going fishing.
He's going to go fishing. So that's more
does
important.
That mean like he already has chips? Or is he going to go chipping?
Yeah, he's got chips. He's got a big chip.
He needs fishes for his chips.
He just pulls the chips right off his shoulder.
Well, ooh.
I like that. So yeah, you have to go.
So.
We'll do another.
So we're back here. I watched Tucker last night because another piece of the Mueller report. I guess the redacted full report was released yesterday.
Yes.
So unlike just like I almost said Bob Barr. Bill. So unlike Bill Barr's, the last thing that dropped was his
summary
of the report, which the left flipped out means like the summary's wrong.
Well, it wasn't just the summary; it was the fact that the report was completed and there were no more indictments. The announcement there would be no more indictments, and then report was delivered, and Bob Barr issued his summary. That was basically Bill Barr.
They were also saying that the summary was wrong, that it was mischaracterizing the findings of the report.
Yeah, but that's copes. This is all copes.
Now the cope is we have to fire Bob Barr. We have to fire Roseanne Barr, somebody. Fire him because it's clearly that he's in on this conspiracy to protect the president, which, may be true, but they might be right for the wrong reasons.
Let me give you my thoughts on that. This is all bullshit. The report, there's nothing. Look, you could nitpick. There's 400 some odd pages. The reporters that made their careers based on this Mueller report bullshit know that their audiences will never sit down and read it themselves. And so what they're going to do is they're going to retcon shit, and they're going to say, see, we were right all along. There was a cover-up. This is them. What they're covering is their own asses and their careers. They want to still be known as...
Well, they're also just continuing the political action.
Yeah, they're continuing
the partisan action this was, right?
I think, that they're pretty well sure that that's dead. So this thing that they're doing now, this is my opinion. You might have another one, but I don't know. Most of what they're doing here is continuing to keep their audiences, keep their own credibility. Mm-hmm. And the way that they're going to do that is they're going to say this was a massive injustice that was done. Right. There was lies. He really did do it. It's all in the report, or things are covered up, or he obstructed whatever. But really, all of that is just so that they can keep their own credibility. And they know there's not going to be anything happening. Nancy Pelosi already said nothing's going to happen. She got shit from that, from the shit lib base, but nothing is going to happen. Trump's not getting impeached. Trump's not getting indicted. No one else is getting indicted. The shit is over. And these journalists that made a career of this for the last 2 years are just covering their own asses. Mm-hmm. That's my opinion.
Well, covering their asses, and they're just continuing to move against the president, which has already...
There's not going to be any moves against them. That's my thing.
No. Doing the same thing the damn journalists, these right-wingers do.
All right, sorry.
The move is not to have anything done. The move is to continue the bullshit story.
Okay.
This is their pretense for continuing that this is real and that you were robbed and Hillary Clinton was robbed was to keep saying that even though our special counsel, our hero, Saint Bob Mueller, didn't come up with what we wanted.
Sideshow Bob.
That it's like it's still real. All the crimes are real, and this is just covered up. Like that's how they continue the narrative. And so what I've been complaining about before someone says Tucker's been listening to Strike, I'm like, no, Tucker's been listening to Sven.
Ooh.
I said from the beginning, these people that him and Mike Tracy and all these other guys are going out the wrong way. This wasn't a glaring error by the mainstream media that needs to be held accountable for. This was a political action.
I was saying that too.
Yeah, but I was saying it too, and I was saying it louder, and I was madder.
I don't know.
I remember I had a nice little thing at the same time. I had a nice little. You know, it's one of those times where I actually participated.
Right, that was because I said a nice thing on a monologue.
That's true. No, I had a nice monologue. And last night, Tucker came close. He pulled it back at the end, but he came close to talking about how this actually was just a partisan action by the press at the behest of whoever to destroy the president, and that it worked. So let's go. Tucker has a good bit here.
The line they're quoting most is from today's report. It was apparently Trump's response when he first learned there was going to be a special counsel investigation into Russia. Oh, God, he said. This is terrible. This is the end of my presidency.
Oh, God, it's
I'm
terrible.
F'd.
Oh, my God.
Well, as it turns out, Trump
I'm
was
F'd.
Wrong on the specifics.
Sorry for
he
the
didn't
F.
get indicted. Mueller didn't drive him from office. It wasn't the end of his presidency, strictly speaking. But as usual, Trump's instincts were clearer. In fact, they were dead on. In the ways that matter most, the Russia hoax did end his presidency in some sense. It certainly sabotaged it.
That's right.
Mueller's investigation ended critical momentum from the 2016 election almost immediately.
That's right.
Momentum that every incoming president uses to get your program enacted, to make good on the promises you just made to to voters. Trump didn't have that, thanks to Russia. Lawmakers, including a shamefully large number of Republicans, who we really should name, but we're out of time, but we will at some point, they were all much happier to talk about Russia than about changing the status quo in Washington, something they were benefiting from, but which Trump ran against. And so they did talk about Russia endlessly. The result? An election that should have realigned our political process and changed this country had almost no effect. 2 years later, virtually nothing has changed. Millions are still flooding over our border from the third world. They're encouraged by an army of nonprofits that instruct them to subvert and mock our laws. The opioid epidemic rages on, as horrifying and horrible and destructive as ever. Suicides are up. Our troops are still bogged down in Syria and Afghanistan and many other places. Goldman Sachs still controls our economy.
Goldman Sachs? You got fat stacks over there? That's pretty good. I didn't catch that last night.
That company is still spying on you, crushing your freedom of speech. You can still have your life ruined for supporting the wrong candidate in public or for believing there are two genders. Most ominous of all, and most often ignored, Americans are dying younger and having fewer children. None of this was ever resolved. None of it was ever talked about. The Russia investigation didn't destroy Trump, but it did a lot to destroy this country. Britt Hume is Fox's senior political correspondent, and he joins us tonight.
That's that. Oof. Very nice.
Britt Hume's like, Tucker, you're getting a little bit too close to the truth there.
Yeah. He pulls it back. When he talks to Britt, he goes back to, they go back to talking about lamenting
the
media won't be held accountable, and all, he goes back into that. It's like, what's like, there's a thing that, like, I haven't been a regular listener of Limbaugh's probably since, like, a daily listener since, like, 2007. But there was a, here and there I would put it on or whatever, like, you know, content drought, put him on. And there was a point over the last 10 years where he switched from, he used to say that the mainstream media was an arm of the Democrat Party. He flipped that over, apparently.
Ah.
He started saying a few years back that the party was actually an arm of the media, which is, like, so true, because, like, who...
That's more true.
It's like, again, yeah, it is more.
Well, who's the media?
Jewish...
You know what they say about having a big nose.
Wow, I have that level boosted for Tucker. Sorry about that, everybody. Break your ears again. But yeah, it's like, that's who the media is, right? So that's a narrative that makes more sense. And so that's why there's, like, no accountability, because these people did what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
This is mission accomplished, right? And, like, even with this report, like, it doesn't... And even if Adam Schiff wasn't coping and doing what he's going to keep doing, like, the presidency is over. The alignment, realignment did not happen. None of these things can be put back on track either. Like, the Republican Party...
There's no rescuing
The Republican Party sold him out, and that's why, like, you were hoping to get, like, a better result at the midterms. But who even knows if a better result in the midterms would have just, like, bolstered the establishment Republicans anyway. It's not like... It's not like everybody was getting primaried out and being replaced.
Yeah,
by
I'm actually
American
in retrospect, I'm glad the Democrats won that, because it brought in
the honk.
It brought in it brought in AOC. It brought in Ilhan Omar. Now, we've heard less from this, what's his name, this other woman that's in there, this other Muslim. But it basically showed, it kind of made things more clear. It made actual conflicts happen. Like like the first 2 years of Trump were pretty pathetic. And part of it was possibly the Russia investigation. There was a poison pill in there from the beginning. The Kushner poison pill was there from the beginning. But as you see, like, the funny thing is, when you read Kushner Inc., you know, the Mueller probe started because he fired James Comey. That was Jared Kushner's idea.
Right. So he's
it was
the
a terrible idea.
Yeah. Like, you gotta wonder with Kushner, though, like, the narrative that I get from, I haven't read the book from gleaning it from, but from you and
you want
Jazz
my copy,
hands,
I can give it to you.
Is like, yeah. I would like to read that, but from what I glean from what you guys have said about it, is like you can't even say, like, did Kushner do that on purpose, or is he just that incompetent? Like, which one was it?
I'm not a fan of the Kushner incompetent meme. I think that I also just, well, I, well, if you listen to what Jazz Hands and I and Marcus on the show from, I think, last weekend, my thing with that was, like, I think that there's just, that book is good, but it doesn't, there's a lot that's not in there too.
Yeah.
And what's not in there, and now Vicky Ward was already accused of being an anti-Semite because of how she talked about Judaism in the book, how often it was inconveniently talk of Judaism lined up with talk of string pulling and money grabbing and greed. Like, like she literally said, like, the NPR literally said, like, it's Vicky Ward strikes the wrong note when too often she talks about Judaism in the same scenario she's talking about, you know, money grubbing, greed, criminality, and string pulling. I'm like, well, how can you not? Right? Like, how can you not? How can you not do that? How could she? How could she not? And my thing is, like, she's not talking about Judaism enough. There's a lot of times when it's clear that there's Jew shit going on, and she doesn't mention it at all. Like when Jared Kushner's having meetings with like three other guys, all of whom are named like Blumenthal or Greenblatt or something like that. Like there's a ton of things like this. Jared Kushner's in a meeting with so and so. It's like, well, how'd that happen? Why is he in a meeting with that guy? And it's just not explained. Yeah. It's like it was April. Kushner was in a meeting with so and so Bergblatstein, and they were talking. And I'm like, well, why did that happen in the first place?
What are they talking about?
So
what
that's that just doesn't even come into it. So anyway, so Kushner's not just working on behalf of Kushner. Now he is working on behalf of Kushner in terms of like he was using his White House spot to try and get someone to buy that stupid building off their hands, or to bail them out of the $1.4 billion of debt that his family has based on that 666 Fifth Avenue building.
I have a solution for that.
Just burn it down?
I was just saying, like, just have the federal government buy it from him and then just get him the hell out of the White House.
Just would that do it?
Just give them whatever price, give Shlomo whatever the fuck he wants for the price of that building, make it some kind of federal.
But that's not the only agenda here.
Then just get him out. Like, here you go, Jared, mission accomplished. Get out. As a condition. But I don't even think the president's wise that to the fact he needs to get rid of Jared. That's the problem.
He has no idea what's going on. If you remember, when he talks in front of the Zionist group, a couple weeks ago we did that show where he was saying all that stupid shit to those Zionists, to the Republican Jewish Council.
So I guess
he's like touting Jared in that. He's like, Jared is going to bring peace to the Middle East.
But he also made like a flippant remark about him becoming an expert on immigration over the last 48 hours. Like,
true.
That was like, you just don't even know anymore, but there's no faith. There's no reason to have any faith.
It doesn't matter
in it anymore,
because
that's
we don't see anything. And this Stephen Miller thing is that's not happening.
No, that's window dressing. It's like, oh, sure, Steve is in charge of immigration now. Thanks, Steve. Good job, Steve.
I mean, there's no way.
As nothing happens.
There's no way that Kris Kobach is going to be DHS secretary. That's just not going to happen. They were in talks. Okay, those talks aren't going anywhere. The Republican Congress already said, like, we're not confirming this guy.
Right.
He's too right-wing.
Which
so
is insane.
Forget about it. Which is so stupid. It's not stupid. Because they don't work for us.
For the conservatives.
If you assume that the Republican Congress works for us, then you're just, wrong.
That's always been the issue. Yeah. They never, as far as, again, I mentioned Limbaugh before. I'll mention him again. As far back as I remember listening to him, the gist always was that audience, the Limbaugh audience, the true believers and stuff, that this party never really represented him. It was always a drag kicking and screaming to get these guys even come close to fulfilling the principles of the conservative movement.
And Limbaugh,
I recognize that in a lot of ways it was stupid stuff. I get it. It was a lot of that stuff.
It
would have
been better than what we got, though.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, Limbaugh was correct, but he couldn't ever tell his audience what was going on. And I find it hard to believe that people that are really...
Well, he would mention the country club Republican sect. Whatever that was supposed to mean.
Well, the problem is if you don't get the greater context, that's going to evoke images of Mitt Romney at a cocktail party and other like hyper Anglo guys. Right. You know, like
that was exactly the image conjured.
It was waspy elite of George Bush and Mitt Romney,
like old effete wasps who think like the truck driver conservatism is vulgar and all this stuff that you want is stupid. Meanwhile,
it's kikes. And I don't know if Limbaugh, I mean, you wonder, does Limbaugh know? I mean, he's got to know on some level. Because my thing is, if someone just doesn't ever talk about it, then they know.
The problem with that with Limbaugh is, like, when shit goes down in Israel, he is fucking right there, and he's all over it. And
right, so that means that he definitely knows. He's all over the Zionist stuff, but he never talks
like
about Jews also, in the liberal
like
end of things.
But he's like a full-throated supporter of it. I don't know.
No, I know. He's super Zionist.
Deep-throated supporter.
Yeah, he's a deep-throated supporter.
I just want to say one more time.
I'm going to kill myself!
Just like thinking about this whole thing.
Well,
but
look,
then we come back.
Here's the thing.
I'm just going to laugh.
Here's
I'm going to die laughing.
We're back to square one, only we've changed the paradigm of the public discourse. So that's good.
That's the thing that happened, yeah.
So
That's why when I think about... Didn't we mention one of Shiksagadis' videos the other day that the Trump when they were calling him a Zionist shelf like from the beginning? Wow, it's like you didn't participate in what you just said here. That the conversation has been changed forever because of this, right?
I mean,
imagine if he had been panned from the beginning. Like imagine there was no energy from us because this guy really is and he doesn't go anywhere. Like then we don't have.
I've been going back and listening to some older stuff, and we're like a hell of a lot more cautious than we think that we were on this guy. We were like, then we got really enthusiastic around the time of the election and right afterwards. Yeah. But like before, we were on board and we liked it, but we were like, there's got to be a catch. And the thing is, see, with them, you know, not to be doing the drama thing, but like they're irrelevant. They're gone. Like nobody, they're gone. Those people are insane and they're just gone. They're also the flat earth bullshit fucking morons. They're done. So
excuse me.
No one cares about yeah. Okay. Yes. Okay. I'm sphere cucking here. Yeah.
Wow.
God, I need to stop following Shapiro on Twitter. I just get all these unpleasant
Alex
photos
is,
in my feed.
Alex is right. White people signaling is ugly. Yeah. That was some hard signaling from you of your sphere cuckiness. Who are you trying to protect with that? He won't even talk to me.
Protect? What are you talking about? It's the truth.
Sphere cuckery is truth?
There's no one.
Is pale Jew dot bullshit?
There's no agenda. There's no agenda here. Anyway, my point is that those people are irrelevant now. And they're as irrelevant as like Copers are.
But they predicted this.
So what?
I know, that's what I'm saying. That's like the only, it's like, well, wow,
I predicted this is the biggest like, cope ever.
Yeah.
I
predicted total failure. That's really difficult.
Yeah, no, it's like, I predicted this. It's like, all right, congratulate you. What do you want, a fucking, what do you want, like a prize? You want like a fucking...
We use it for everything we could.
It's like, if you're in this to be right and predict things, then just sit there and predict that everything is going to go wrong and you're going to be right 9 times out of 10. I'm in this to change the narrative and change the paradigm of the discourse, which we have done. Do you understand? Like Jazz Hands was saying when he was on the show last week, white nationalism is everywhere talked about.
Yep, yep.
That's
a
huge step forward. We weren't there. Remember when we first got our names in the paper and we were like shitting ourselves? We're like, I can't believe they're even paying attention to us.
It's over there on the refrigerator.
That actually wasn't the first time. That was just one time. But yeah.
Yeah, we have congressmen using our symbols now.
Yeah, the first time we were in the New York Times, I don't even remember what it was, but we were shitting ourselves. And then when the Echoes got in the New York Times, we're like, holy crap. Look, there's people in Muslim countries that have no idea who we are that use the Echoes. Like, it's going to key out? No, it's not. Yeah. So, we've completely changed the way everything is talked about. And Trump was part of that. The fact that he's cucked out, he's just another Zionist shill mainstream Republican now, whatever.
The only bad thing about this article actually caused me to purchase a New York Times. It's the only downside. They punctuate their messages with the subtle symbols of hatred by Amanda Hess.
Parentheses, hatred symbols.
You know what's funny? No one's going to know who Amanda Hess is.
No.
But everyone's going to remember the parentheses.
Yeah. The Nadler anti-defamation leaves.
Old Jerry Nadler.
The anti-defamation.
Little goblin man himself. Have you seen his pictures?
Can we just do this? I want to go down memory lane here. This is great.
Yeah.
The Anti-Defamation League added a new symbol this week to Hate on Display, a database of prominent white supremacist imagery. It's called the Echo. It is used online to call attention to Jewish names in the news. The symbol originated in 2014 on an anti-Semitic podcast, The Daily Shoah. Never heard of that.
Yeah. I don't know what that is. That a thing?
Which applied a novelty sound effect to Jewish names that made them echo ominously. That practice then spread to blogs and Twitter, where podcast creators and fans created a visual translation of the Echo sound effect by placing three sets of parentheses around a Jewish name, like Cohen or Goldberg. The parentheses.
I don't think it echoes ominously. I thought it echoed humorously.
Hilariously. That was
God,
remember when I used to have the guitar pedal and I would have Echo on my voice? I need to get that. Figure a way to hook that up again. That was fun. The parentheses later turned up in the Chrome browser extension called the Coincidence Detector. Which found Jewish names in text and automatically trapped them in the Echo. Google has since banned the extension from the Chrome store. God, remember you can just get that from the Chrome store. Enterprising white nationalists are now printing the Echo on t-shirts.
That didn't last very long.
I think only one guy got that shirt. One guy on Teespring.
He
paid for like the rush, like print it right now and ship it tomorrow. And he actually got, so there's one.
He knew what he was doing.
There's one Coincidence t-shirt out there. I had a picture of it on my old Twitter, Press F. This is now a hate symbol. Wait, this is how a hate symbol rises in 2016. A podcast sound effect becomes a Twitter meme and a browser extension before it finally slithers into the physical world. The Echo is the first officially recognized symbol to emerge from the alt-right, a movement of white and proud extremists who are about as obsessed with cultural memes as they are with white nationalism. You're right.
Mm.
They play fast and loose with white supremacist iconography. remixing it with pop culture and the continued on page four. God, newspaper. Who the fuck still reads these things?
It's like...
Like, how am I supposed to...
Everything about them is really like, bad.
I don't even remember what I just
people,
read.
People in nursing homes flip through that while they're looking for the crossword.
That's a long...
Speaking of... You mentioned that Jerry Nadler still uses the echoes on his Twitter. Jerry Nadler is quite literally a goblin. Like, look at...
yeah, I know.
Did you see this? Look at that shit.
What is with his feet?
Bring it up on... Bring it up. I sent it to you. I sent the tweet.
What, you sent it in my Facebook?
Yes, in that instant message thing that I send stuff to you in. It's like, I don't know, our audience deserves to see this image.
This is a hilarious image.
And the other one, there's two. There's two images in this tweet, both of which... I remember the one where I was talking about how he looked all disheveled at the Pride Parade.
Yeah, he's got like half his coat is untucked. Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah. But first of all... Goblin phenotype. Okay.
Oh my god. How do I give me view image, please? I don't want to.
Oh, you
page
can't
first.
Because it's a. You can't because it's a slideshow. So you gotta just. Show the page. Yeah. Sorry. I mean, you can, but you have to like go into the HTML.
Oh my god.
So
this fucking guy.
How short are his legs? What it's the weird. Fuck, man?
Dude,
is he
another,
a mutant?
He's like a little fucking dwarf person.
He's an actual goblin.
Yes, he's an actual goblin. That's a goblin
got,
phenotype.
14-inch long legs.
Yes, he's got these stubby little legs. And are you still looking? You're like looking at other things that were in the paper that day.
No. It's the end of the.
How did he get elected?
I don't know, dude. This is a little goblino guy.
Look how short that mic stand is set to right now.
Yeah, he's probably shorter than Ben Shapiro.
Oh, here we go.
All right, so you got something.
Modern white supremacist memes recast unwilling recruits. With the help of digital photo editing, Guy Fieri becomes a Nazi soldier.
Dude.
Remember, that was my fucking... I identified as Nazi Guy Fieri back in the day.
Yeah.
That was my avatar. Guy Fieri becomes a Nazi soldier. Taylor Swift turns into their Aryan goddess. Miss Swift's lawyer has recently shot off a letter to an alt-right blog asking it to cease and desist associating her image with anti-Semitic rhetoric. The most recent episode of The Daily Show, a podcast, itself a twist on The Daily Show, kicks off with an anti-Semitic parody of Poison's ballad "Every Rose Has Its Thorn."
Oh my god! Wow, I forgot about that one. That's an old one.
Every rose has in fall.
Then
that was so good.
Yeah, that was good, man. All these songs are like in the archive.
Oh yeah, Jonathan Greenblatt. Oh my god!
Oh god, stuff. Jonathan from
both the
ATL.
Both alt-right and 4chan share favorite insults like "cuck," feminized men. That's wrong. That's not what cucks are.
I remember when they were starting. I remember it's so funny because the alt-right is just part of the discourse now. When they were doing all the intro to the alt-right things in 2016 and 2015.
Yeah.
Like, in case you didn't hear, here's this thing. And they made a thing out of it. And now they
so
thought
close.
That tying this to. Now, part of it was like Trump. Part of it was they didn't like what you were saying. Part of it was also they didn't like Trump. And they thought they maybe bought their own shit. They're like, hey, if we associate Trump with this young Nazi movement, then he'll lose. Now, for us, we were always like, that's a bad, you know, it's not going to work for you. And it didn't work for them. And now the problem is they managed to disassociate Trump from us. And it's made Trump unpopular.
I
don't think Trump will win. I mean, the only thing that would make Trump win would be the Democrats being completely retarded, which, of course, is a likely story. So look at the next picture in that tweet series.
I'm pretty sure he's going to win. But
click like the little arrow.
Oh my god.
That's my favorite.
Fuck.
That's my favorite.
What is happening? What's happening to his belt?
I mean, he's at the gay pride parade.
Tie,
he had to
dude.
Fasten it again real quickly. I mean,
god, what a monster. What a fucking monster.
This guy controls your future, America. This guy gets say. This guy has power. This guy's got real power.
Those are some.
And because he's a Jew, he uses
line.
It. It's not just symbolic.
Oh my god.
It's amazing.
Also, the fact that he's disheveled looking like he just tucked his shirt back in at a gay pride parade, I mean,
oof.
Are we going to talk about that?
I don't want
to
think about it.
I don't
it.
Think I don't we really need to do that, but, you know.
Oof.
But, yeah, there's Jerry.
Might,
good old Jer.
You might turn,
Jerry
you might,
Nadler.
You might turn me into, like, crying Star Wars guy if we think about that too hard. I don't
How do they make this more degenerate every time? Every time. Like, the goblin?
The goblin.
His orthotics.
The goblin banker.
His orthotics are so big and awkward.
I That's what
they make this more Jewish every time. Every time.
We got to do a parody to that guy. Well, we just did. We got to do more.
Sunlight without turning into storm.
Oh my god.
Well, I mean, I was watching Medicare again. He was doing his bit on that. He's like, I'm just gonna put Holocaust footage in that frame.
How do they make it more epic every time?
Like as he's watching, just put like
the effects are amazing.
Yeah.
These special effects.
It's like there's a part where he's like, oh, it's gorgeous. I just have like Auschwitz. Like,
oh man, that's too good, man. That's too good. Ridiculous.
It's gorgeous.
Gorgeous. It's amazing.
No way. No way.
You show like the trains going in. It'd be really good. I hope he does that. We can't do it now because it was his bit, so I'm challenging him to do it.
I remember that reminds me of a little derail.
Challenge him to do one other thing, which is come on our show. But yeah.
Medicare? Mikator? Yeah. Medicare, Mikator?
We'll get it. Well, it'll happen.
Medicare?
It'll happen. It'll happen.
Medicare?
It'll happen.
I don't know how to say it. I can't
remember. I don't know. I was saying Mitoker, but that's, I think I it's Medicare. Who cares? It's just
I have the same problem with Medicare that I have with solipsism. Solipsism? I can't.
Well, it's the same problem you have generally speaking with the English language.
No, it's just those. There's a couple words like that. Like, wait, which syllable is which? Is it solipsism or solipsism?
Yeah, which syllable do you put the emphasis on?
No. Which one is where's the O and where's the I?
Sorry, that's the oldest gag. It's so
I know.
Stupid.
No, but I swap the I and the O. Was it solipsism or
solipsism?
Solipsism. The O is first. Okay.
Solipsism.
Emphasis from now on. That's emphasis.
Because sometimes I say syllabus.
Wait, what was it I said? I said like the element. And I was like, it's like a base element.
Element.
It's like I'm saying how Italians talk about the periodic table.
An element.
The periodic
table.
The periodic table of, you know, spaghetti and meatballs and you know, bread, Parmesan cheese, like the whole bit.
All right, what are we even doing now?
Periodic table of...
Totally off.
I guess we're going to do the Last Action Hero bit.
Yes, let's do that.
You
want to
do that already? Okay.
Last Affirmative Action Hero.
I want to do that.
All right, so I...
Public service announcement. Take your kids to see these dumb Star Wars and superhero. Take your loud, screaming children, and if any fucking soy boy looks at you funny, be like, what? This movie is targeted at this infant right here.
So here's my question.
Clearly, it's designed for him.
Is there something in pop culture, in the media, where like soy people are complaining about children crying during their favorite?
Yes, no, they're saying don't bring your children to the next Avengers movie. They're saying this on Twitter, like it's going viral. Like, don't take your kids.
I mean, I agree with that, but for different reasons.
Well, now I'm on Alex's side a little bit. Like, if they're actually telling me not to do this, like, I kind of, but I don't want to. Can I just send the kids and I don't have to go watch the movie? Can I go in there?
Yeah, well, absolutely. Just send children.
Well, are there your kids old enough? They'll sit down by themselves and watch this.
Well, hopefully not. Oh, they're going to be rambunctious and yell and scream and ruin the movie.
So then that's better if you're not there.
Yeah.
Leave them unsupervised.
Unsupervised.
I mean, you could sit out outside and play on your phone.
Because I do not want to... Well, I could play on my phone in the theater.
You could do that, too.
No, I could leave my ringtone on.
There you go.
Ooh,
yeah, do that too.
Everybody go see Avengers and leave your ringtone on, and I'll give you a call.
That's a good call plan.
While you're in the movie.
Yeah.
We should start just being black people in theaters.
There you go.
Take calls, talk over the movie, yell, and scream.
Oh, shit, don't go in there!
But then just don't even talk about the movie anymore.
Thanos coming!
Start talking about...
Oh, yo, here comes Thanos!
Oh, shit! Thanos coming, y'all! He's like, what's the count? What's the count? Y'all fucked up the count. The count of people I've killed. Oh, yeah.
Thanos coming.
Imagine telling people not to take their children to a comic book movie.
That's just absurd. Don't take your kid to this superhero movie. Yeah. This bright, shiny...
It's just because your thinking is outdated, man. Like, the kids aren't the target demo anymore.
No.
The kidults. 13 to 44?
Yes, don't bring your actual children. What? Only bring your kidults.
Yeah. My 9-year-old is not kid-ults. Welcome.
Fuck all kidults.
Oh, I know. But that's how the industry has changed. Like, this is like really, like, if you think about it, it's really smart from a marketing perspective. It's like, how the hell are you supposed to squeeze money
out of it? Kids don't have any money.
I know, you can't squeeze money out of a 9-year-old. You got to convince their parents. It's like, why not just sell it directly to...
I like that take.
To the parents. It's like, just sell the entertainment and all the merchandise directly to the Bugmen kidults instead. It's so much easier. That's the same thing happened with video games. So you got the, violent, realistic video games. Like, why aim them at children?
You remember the 1980s? Remember cartoons? Remember Saturday morning cartoons?
Remember
like a public debate over the fact that this was essentially just one gigantic marketing op Pretty good. Yeah. Cartoons about toys and toy commercials during the cartoons.
Yeah, that came like a boomer meme. It's like, in my day, the cartoons were actually cartoons. These ones are just half-hour-long commercials. I remember that one.
So what?
But like, I was just like,
in your day, the cartoons also.
It's like I'm still gonna like G.I. Joe if there isn't like action figures. And yes, I want the action figures, but like we'll get over it. But that's a bad business model. It's like your whole business model is based on children like nagging their parents who are trying to be like.
Yeah, but now they're just the adults by the G.I. Joes.
Now you just have the Transformers
and
movie,
the toys and the adults by the Transformers and the stuff.
And the other thing is like the adults our age that were like they were raised on like this sort of like. Entertainment austerity, where like, no, I'm not going to buy them. That's what you need this money for. Da-da-da. It's like now the toys haven't really gone up with
you
inflation.
Get, like,
they've
one
stayed
or
the same.
Two things.
But now you've got the thing where like the Xer or the millennial that grew up like being denied the stuff is like, well, there's no one here to stop me from spending my money. So yes. I was deprived when I was a child because my parents were trying to be frugal and responsible. Now that they're not like over my head, I have my salary from whatever job I'm going to buy all the shit I want.
Now that I have an adult income and no children, right. I can, no children and no household to spend it on. Yeah. I'll just buy all
Pops.
The crap I want. Yeah, no, I remember this like that when I was a kid, like, you know, I get to choose one thing.
Yeah.
Like, which one do you want?
Yeah.
I want all of them. Well, no, you get one.
You get one.
Fuck.
You want all
of them? Dad, I hate you now. No.
If you want another one, I never did that. Wait for your birthday, wait for Christmas.
Yeah, that was exactly. Your birthday, you get something. Your Christmas, you get something. Christmas, maybe you get more than one thing, or, you know, you get a few things each time, but you don't ever get everything you wanted, because there's a whole toy line, a huge toy line. You'd get, like, a couple of Transformers. You know, one year I got a Genesis, and then I never really played it much, But yeah, like you don't get.
I got an original Nintendo, when Genesis came about, my parents were like, "Oh hell no! You already have one of these stupid things."
You know, when Boomer Dad is the one you're relying on, he's gonna grumble and he's like, "Oh, I got you one thing, one of these stupid fucking things."
Yeah,
you know, and that was it.
Yeah,
and toys also have plummeted in price.
Yes,
since NAFTA, that's another NAFTA thing.
They've stayed the same, if not gone down.
Certain toys have not. They figured this out though. We were talking about on an earlier show. About how you
collector,
imprint, like,
so-called collector toys. Toys actually for children have gone down in price. Mm-hmm. And when I remember G.I. Joes and Transformers and Voltron and stuff, that was actually kind of expensive back in the day. But this is actually because of NAFTA. Like NAFTA, because they make this shit in Mexico and they fucking, you know, now China, of course, has made everything cheaper, like this plastic stuff. But, you know, initially that was the issue. Like, they were not necessarily, some of the stuff was made in America. Like, Mattel had, like, a factory here. And they were making stuff here. They don't do that anymore. It's either Mexico or China. And, these trade agreements, like, just plunge the price of these items.
Yep. Hasbro's figured out this neat little trick where they take the Generation 1 Transformers, which is, we imprinted on those at a young age.
Well, they actually had metal in them.
Again.
Yeah,
the diecast.
They're for kiddos.
They have
now
reissued those, and they sell them for like $50 per Transformer. Yeah. And we know who they're targeting. It's not kids. It's getting those
it's
people kiddles that grew up with that Transformer.
It's kiddos. It's 40-year-olds.
And these people think it's
you see
be
that,
and they think it's awesome.
And they think it's going to go up in value.
It's a bumblebee with the real metal in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That I never take out of the package.
Yeah, that I'm not. That I know. I got the real. For all you know, it could be bullshit. Mm. You're not taking it out of the package to look at it. You don't know what's in there.
As a toy, it's not as good as the new Transformers that are fully posable and shit. This is the old primitive Transformer, and you're going to spend $100 on it.
Those things used to fall apart, man. The ones that actually had metal pieces, they would fall apart very quickly.
Yeah, because
the paint would come off. Paint would come off too. Remember that?
Oh yeah, the paint would show because metal.
It's metal.
It's not just like form
it's
injected.
Metal. Worst kind of metal.
It's not just injected, you know, into a fucking plastic form and the colors in the.
Yeah,
in the material
inherently already the color. Yeah,
remember
how another guy using Echoes on Twitter just now.
Having grown up,
remember He-Man figures where they would just be like a repainting of another figure.
Yeah, yeah,
like, I got another guy here.
There was just the head was different, and they changed. Like,
there's the coloring.
Yeah. Literally, the arms were all exactly the same, and the legs and the chest.
Good stuff.
Right?
It's good stuff.
I also really that bad. You know, I remember when they started. I remember when they started making the Transformers out of all plastic, and I never had those when I was a kid. I had like the metal Optimus Prime, like I actually had that. But I played with the shit out of it, and it's all it's long since it's gone. I have no idea. But I remember when I saw like a younger cousin of mine or family friend or something that had a younger kid, and they had these toys, and I was like, these are shitty. These look like shit.
Yeah,
like this Optimus Prime you got. This is fake.
How am I supposed to give anybody a concussion with this shitty plastic Optimus Prime?
This doesn't even look right.
How am I supposed to split my head open on the corners of this crappy plastic?
First of all, the paint's not even chipped. What the fuck is this?
Take that lead paint off and eat it. How are you supposed to? This ain't working. Anyway. Yeah.
How am I supposed to munch on the lead paint? What is going on here?
It's a protein-packed superfood. So, actually, oh, shit, he just sent me the cartoon.
He sent you the actual video so we can play it.
We can actually play it. We're supposed to play it.
Just hold your phone up to the screen and play it.
No, this is
good. No, we should play the actual because this will be like a feature for our fans.
Oven Team Starving Force.
Oven Team Starving Force, episode one. Yeah, full episode?
I've got to pull it. Well, it's a short. It's not very long.
You got to get it before YouTube destroys it.
I got to go. No, it's not on YouTube. He drived me.
All right. Well, shall I filibuster while
just
you...
Just for a moment.
Okay. So the Honk Song came out, and I was going to talk a little about David Lee Roth as like a super Jew. Protein pack super Jew. that's David Lee Honk. I was looking at this guy. Now, if you look at pictures of David Lee Roth now, he looks so Jewish. If you look at pictures of Eddie Van Halen, he just looks like an older dude.
Yeah.
He also looks a lot better. Eddie Van Halen looks a lot better. David Lee Roth, it's like tightened across his scalp.
He looks like the J.K. Rowling's banker.
He really does. It's crazy. And then you go back and look at him in his youth, and you're like, is this the same fucking guy? Like, you could see the Jew in his face if you know how to look for it when he was younger, but you wouldn't have caught it. I had no idea when I was younger.
Right.
And he was doing, like, those leaping splits and shit. He was all, like, in shape, very good at jumping around, running around and stuff. Like, he looks like a goblin now. It's crazy. Yeah. And Eddie Van Halen just looks like a boomer.
Yeah.
He's just, like, he's got, like, a white hair.
He's got the white goatee.
He's jamming out. He wears, like, a gray t-shirt and jeans. He just looks like a normal boomer. You know, it's funny though. You see how they dress now, how they used to dress.
Yeah.
Like Eddie Van Halen, you just dress how you used to dress.
Yeah. Oh, the spandex.
Like a big, like puffy thing, like you know, just like just over your big puffy vest, like no shirt, like just like jamming out as like an old dude. I don't know, man. It's pretty funny.
It is. Goddamn! What a guitar player. What a fucking
somebody just
player.
Did a lightsaber gender reveal. Oh man,
I saw this on Twitter. I didn't even know what that meant.
I don't want to see that.
The levels of...
Are they using the lightsaber in the bris?
Just cauterize the wound right away. Cauterize a pee hole shot.
I don't want to live on this planet anymore.
That was a couple that actually reproduced doing a gender reveal of their child, though, right?
I think so. I don't think it's a dog that's pregnant.
Should be a biological sex reveal, not gender. Remember, gender's fake and made up? Remember?
Yeah,
so we got mad at someone recently for using the word gender. And it's like, all right, relax.
Get mad at me.
I don't understand. This lightsaber looks purple. What gender is this child?
Oh, God. Oh, I get it. So they flash the color. So red would be girl, blue would be boy.
Okay. Yeah, it's a girl. All right.
Okay.
Soft pink.
Oh, I get it. I get it. Okay.
I mean, somebody should attack this couple for being very cisgendered in their outlook. They're very gender normative here. Look, these lightsaber gender reveals are problematic. They're gender normative. So, I think it's good. I think that's fine. Let's just bring it up.
I don't understand why it's like the wrong size. It's slightly off. Anyway, you ready? You ready to watch a cartoon?
Let's be
total hypocrites.
Let's watch Friday afternoon cartoons.
Yeah, here we go.
Can I buy toys related to this franchise yet?
No.
We could probably do that at some point, but...
No, I don't want to do that. We already have toys of me and Sven.
But that was a custom one-timer. I don't know if you can just buy those. We're not...
No, you can't. Only we have those.
Here's the inaugural episode of Oven Team Starving Force. Or maybe not. I don't know. Or maybe it'll just...
Maybe it just didn't work at all. Here we go.
Oh, maybe there'll just be no sound.
Maybe there's no sound.
Maybe there's no sound. That's fine. I'm not ruining like, the whole thing at all. Oh, you know what? I muted the tab. when I brought it up while you were talking, I didn't want to like interrupt you.
Yeah.
For once, I didn't want to interrupt you. This is what I get for it. Anyway, here it goes again. Because this is too hot for YouTube. So
yeah, YouTube can't do this. Oh, whose house is that? Doesn't look familiar at all.
Ugh, God, I'm starving. Sven, you gotta get us a bite to eat.
No, I'm trying to figure out why the goddamn lights in the studio are flickering.
You know, it's because it's haunted, right? All right, all right, all right. Look, Here's the thing, Johnny. You know, it's actually the Jews who are behind the lighting issues. Utilities are like a kosher sandwich. On one hand, you have the electric companies that are owned by the Jews. On the other hand, you have the water companies that are owned by the Jews. Worst of all, in the middle, you have the cable and gas companies who are owned by the Jews. In fact, it's not just a kosher sandwich, Johnny. It's a Jewish smorgasbord.
I'm serious. I'm a trained electrician. I know when a man's circuitry is haunted or not. And the circuitry in this room is most certainly haunted.
You just got here! You haven't even looked at it yet! How do you know the circuitry's haunted or not?
Okay, let me take a look.
You're still using the same delivery service, and it's just like, hey, what am I going to do to get out of this nonsense?
It's haunted. In fact, this is textbook poltergeist behavior. You know, a routine Google search would show you that this whole area was built on an ancient engine burial ground.
Stop pissing me off! Oh, it's so pain! I can't. Oh, God! Stop! Why? Why is it always like this?
And that, Johnny, is why you don't fall for the pill pull of the electric Jew.
What happened to my thing? There we are. There's the first episode.
It's pretty good.
I still heard your voice in all the voices.
I know it's hard. It'll get better.
I kind of like the me being the Goomba voice or whatever it was. The
well, that was like a computer. He didn't want to. I wanted him to continue
so
with
funny.
That.
It's like
the
really
computer
good.
Generated. I mean, imagine that entire rant like in that robot,
in that voice,
robotic
it would be,
Goomba.
It would probably be better. Not to no offense to your voice talents.
It would have been. I think it would have been a little better. I don't know. Dude, but except that thing. That thing can't be like. All right. You need a human touch on that. All right.
But even then, I'm just imitating like you imitating me. Who even started that? I don't even know where that came from. All right.
No, you do that when you're not even, you don't even know all you're right. doing it.
Oh, really? Yes. Yeah. No, it's a tick. Actually, I've been told this by people that have shared space with me that, you're talking to yourself constantly. All right, like, all right. You should all stop. Right. No, I'm more like, all right.
Yeah. Well, it's actually, I remember Klaus started doing it.
Yes.
He's like, well, it was when we were renovating. He's like picking up stuff. He's like, all right. trying to put it in the garbage.
So I just, okay. So just, yeah, all right. I see. Yeah. It. No, it's.
It's funny.
Do I do this? Yeah. Jamie confirms.
Jamie's nodding. Jamie's so. Nodding.
All right.
Not even irrelevant.
I just did it.
Not even irrelevant. He just did it.
I just totally unconsciously did it.
What is my screen showing, Alex? That's not even what's
going on. See, because when I do it, I'm imitating Klaus doing it.
Yeah.
And now he's imitating me, and I just do it. And then I just did it. I just did it like. Yeah, dude, I actually do this. This is the tick that I have.
All right. So back to what we were doing before with the Bugman stuff.
What were we doing?
The other day I brought up how, like, Christianity. Religion
yes.
On the decline as the cape shit and the Bugman stuff took its place as it yes. rose. And
I've got a great narrative on this.
Yeah. And this is also like we could talk Baudrillard. How the fuck do you say that?
Ask Alex.
Baudrillard.
Just pronounce it the way I do. Baudrillard.
Baudrillard.
It's probably wrong. Because
this film that I allowed my children to watch this the other day.
Oh, boy.
Last Action Hero starring Arnold Schwarzenegger from
1997.
1993.
Ooh,
really old, but
I thought it was.
It was poking fun at itself. It's poking fun at the action hero
mm-hmm.
genre, the yeah. ridiculous film where the hero.
The '90s was like the heyday of the yeah. action hero.
Well, no, this was the end of it because this was like, made fun of. This ushered in the age of nihilism. This was the end.
Yeah,
of
yeah,
it.
Yeah. No. This is making fun of the '80s.
Yeah, make fun of '80s action. Movies. Yeah, in 1993. Okay. So, okay. And
last
it,
affirmative action.
Yeah, the last affirmative action hero. Who's that going to be? Girl, that's a long ways off.
But yeah, there's one, another. It'll be a long time before yeah. we see that.
Denzel Washington in the last affirmative action.
Yeah, so would be Denzel, or would be that? This Is America? That stupid kid that raps.
Oh God,
Danny Glover's son, or grandson.
Oh,
I can't remember. So anyway, the kid.
Jaden Smith.
So the kid in this film is completely obsessed with this Arnold Schwarzenegger character named Jack Slater. A series of movies. He's totally obsessed with it. He's grown up without a father. In the film, he's his mother is his widow. He died somewhere.
That'd be like actually
explained.
Probably better than this superhero shit. Like Jack
Slater.
Like,
that's like the wholesome way that you don't have a father.
Yeah,
your father actually just died.
Right. So he's basically he has no friends. He like cuts school to go watch movies at this like old guy's like old movie theater that's about to be torn down and replaced with a Lowe's.
Is it a Jewish guy?
I don't know. He's just like,
oh shit! Down. Is he going to go watch movies with some old creepy Jew?
Well, no, he's like the projectionist. He's like up sleeping up in the booth, and the kids just watching.
Movies. There's some funny like tropes in there that like people today wouldn't even understand that reference. Like a projectionist, what?
Yeah. Like the movie's not digital. He's actually got reels.
Yeah.
And I forgot where I was going. Oh yeah. So he's fatherless. He's replaced his father.
Yes, with this,
with this action figure. This not even with Arnold himself, just with the character Arnold's playing. And so the plot of the film is this projectionist got a magic ticket from Houdini as a child, and apparently when you use it, it allows you to enter the film world. So here we have the Baudrillard. We're like, okay, reality's not real enough. We got to go into hyper reality. I'm gonna go live in the movies to escape this mundane existence this poor child has. And so as it goes...
Now the movies live in us.
Yeah. So as it goes on, the plot goes on, we're like, he pulls Arnold and the bad guy out of the movie, so bad stuff happens in the real world, the idea being in the real world, the bad guys can win, like that's the trope there, and da da da. And so in the real world, Arnold gets shot. And like the final climax is like, you gotta get him back into the movie, where he's back in his universe, where he can't die because he's the hero.
Right.
That's how you're going to save him. And this kind of tear-jerking scene is what I've pulled up here.
This all goes back to your thing that this is because of the death of Jesus.
Well, just the death of like yeah, not,
the death of God,
not having that, not have like having your meaning coming from fucking Hollywood movies instead of church is like what happened. And you can take what you want with it. I know some people don't care, but this is a. This is what I see when I look at it. Oh, that's CEO Eric.
Wait, yeah,
that's what I see.
Jesus? Eric Hayden is Jesus?
No, he's just a good Twitter account.
This is a Twitter account.
So here's the scene in question. I just hear what Arnold says to this kid that believes.
Hey! They got Jack! Doc!
I know, that's an animated cat. Don't worry, it makes sense if you watch the movie.
Hey, Doc! Move!
Take this.
Before
it changes its mind.
See, they're back in the movie right now, so the chest wound, like, he's fine.
Yeah, okay.
No way! I'm not gonna leave you!
I'm just an imaginary hero, Danny. You have a real life.
You're real to me. Don't you get it? You're the best thing, and I need you to
be here where you can always find me. But I need you to be out there, to believe in me. I need you to take care of your mother for me, because I would love to.
Did you like get choked up at this point?
Oh yeah, I'm totally choked up.
We have your whole life ahead of you.
And pimples and premature ejaculation, I heard.
What?
That's some Jew shit right there.
Yep.
What?
It's just, I'm scared I'm never going to see you again.
Listen to this shit.
This is pretty bad.
Yeah, it is bad, but listen to what he says right here.
Whoever thinks that would be making a big mistake.
All right, not that. It's gay Arnold line. Tell him! After all this, is this the wrong fucking scene? Holy fuck.
Get out of the way. Fuck. You want a doctor?
Did I miss it? Wow.
What is he supposed to say?
He tells you, I need you out there believing in me.
He said that.
Yeah, he already said that.
Oh.
You just missed it.
Oh, I missed it. Well, yeah, that was the thing he said. Yeah.
You were distracted. He did say that.
I guess I was distracted.
Have faith in me. Faith in the cross, right?
Yeah, I need you out there believing in me.
Okay.
Pretty terrible. But it's like, and so like, but this is a young child. It's like, how can we make this kid into a 40-year-old that's been buying this stuff for the last 30 years?
I need you out there buying my stuff.
I need you out there buying
years.
My stuff. Yeah. I need you to continually
that way you'll continue to, that's like, I'll be born again every time there's a sequel. Like instead of the third day, it's like the third sequel.
Yeah.
Where once again my merchandise rises again.
Well, with Star Wars, it's the third trilogy. It's the third fucking trilogy.
But I think that I was onto something.
They're bringing back Emperor Palpatine, man.
Emperor. Well, I think that
no one has ever really gone.
Well, that's
has ever really gone.
Well, why would they be gone? I mean, this is actually
that's what makes George Lucas such a genius. Is that to play that old ass emperor, he picked a young actor. So now, like 40 years later, that guy's still around. And he's actually old now, so it's like you don't have to do as much makeup.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ian,
what's his name?
It's not Ian McKellen.
Not Ian McKellen. It's Ian something. Ian McDiarmid?
I have no idea.
I don't remember.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. It literally does not matter.
So they don't have to use weird CGI effects to resurrect him from the grave?
Yeah.
No. They got the same guy to do it in the prequels, and they're going to get the same guy to do it again.
Yep. That's the most disturbing shit. I swear to God, if they make a movie that actually just does this all the way through, that's it.
Well, maybe George Lucas had this planned the whole time.
That's what I'm saying. It makes him a genius. Yeah, it's Ian McDiarmid.
Anyway, so my thing was that, which is what I kind of got started getting at the end of the last show on this, is that the church is still giving you the range of emotions throughout the church year that the Hollywood gives you in one film or one show.
Right.
And the seasons, and you go through a church season. You know, you have... You ordinary time. Films. Now, you know the word ordinary. You know where that comes from. It comes from the church calendar. Uh-huh. Most of the year is ordinary time. Then you enter into Lent. And then you have Holy Week. Then you have Easter. Then you have Pentecost. And then you go back to ordinary time.
Well, no. You go to summer blockbuster season.
Okay. Right. Well, that is Pentecost. Right? Because it's after Easter. And it's like the time of evangelizing. That is what Pentecost is about. The flame appears over the head of the disciples as they preach the word of God. And so Pentecost is that season. It's Pentecost. Now we are entering this Pentecostal season. After Sunday, we will be in Pentecost.
Oh, I meant to prep on that this morning.
And, you know, so most of the year it's just ordinary time. But then you get the full range of emotions. I mean, today is Good Friday. Good Friday. So today's the day that you're supposed to be set. In fact, I brought you some spring, or rather, Jamie brought you some spring tulips today, but I was thinking we would put them here, but then I'm like, it's Good Friday. We shouldn't be having these bright colored flowers until Sunday.
It's miserable here, so I'm celebrating Good Friday.
No, but it's Good Friday, so you don't have bright colored things. I'm actually should be wearing a black, well, here, let me wear a black shirt for
Good Friday.
Should
I be wearing this weird pagan black metal
shirt? Well, here, I'll wear my black shirt for
Good Friday. Is that your boomer shirt? What does it say? Suck it up, buttercup.
Yeah, so here we go. I'm wearing a black shirt now for Good Friday.
What about this pale green? Oh, we can't even show it because it's green. The Painovich.
What? Why are you showing things like that? This is Good Friday.
I don't know.
So, the point is that the church season and the story of Jesus and the gospel, it is a drama. Mm-hmm. It's a drama. It's a dramatic story. And it's a story about good over you, blah, blah, blah. And all of this range of emotions are given to you, and it's not just like it's not supposed to be purely entertainment. So now, there's supposed to be other things involved. Now, I don't really. I'm not a Christian. Okay, I'm not. Just so everyone, I think that's been pretty clear. People understand that.
Yes.
But that is the thing that people need in their life. I think not necessarily Christianity, but something like that. Some kind of structure. Some kind of narrative structure that they use to put the world together. They use to understand how things are going on. One, people say, they need to have faith in something. I think maybe, but I also think that people need something that helps them to organize how they view the world. And the church used to provide that. Now Hollywood provides it. And they do provide it. The media provides it, and Hollywood provides it. And most people aren't plugged into like the media. Like we were talking about the stats that these cable shows get. It's like nothing, right?
Yeah,
compared to the whole country. But Avengers gets a lot, right? So a lot more people are structuring their worldview around Avengers. Now, it used to be different kinds of movies. Back in the past, they would have these action hero movies or these romance movies or these comedies or whatever. But they still would give you all kinds of social messaging in them you just didn't necessarily always pick up on. That's what you were getting. Then before you know it, you're a total shitlib and you think you came up with it yourself. I mean, the funniest thing is when you see shitlibs that think they came up with it themselves. And you're like, no, guy. They think they're the only one, first of all. They think they're the only one, or they and their friends are like super smart, the only ones that came up with this, look, we're smarter than you, we're no better than these stodgy old white Republicans, I'm better than that, right? They think they came up, that's been fed to you your whole life through all the pop culture you've absorbed. And so that's how people order their worldview now, is based on this stuff, rather than the church. So I think that there is something there, and yeah.
Can I do that?
I think you have the firmware that supports stuff like this. Mm. You can either plug religion into it, or you could plug this mass media garbage. Either one.
Yeah. Jewish entertainment instead.
Yeah, Jewish entertainment. And that's very dangerous.
I mean, the real red pill is that it was always just... But I'm not going to say it.
Oh, come on. No, I'm right on this.
Okay.
The Jewish stuff was retconned. Was retconned into the New Testament. They don't belong together. No way.
All right. Okay. If you want to do that, that's fine. I think that my thing is that. Well, the argument I always put to the people that say that they're indelibly together is like nobody actually reads this shit. Right, to most people, they don't even understand the context of the New Testament, Old Testament. Like I was talking to somebody about that used to even go to church, and it's like, can you tell me like what the gospel is, what the difference between the gospel and the rest of the books of the Bible are? And they're like, they didn't know. So people don't even know this shit. Mm-hmm. And even people that went to church, they don't know. They just don't know it. So why the fuck can't we just make some new shit up? This is my thing. It's like. It's all basically made up. So, you know, if you we were talking about the issue of theology. I'm like, theology is just whatever you make up. And, like, a lot of people are going to get mad at me, but whatever. Like, if you're so, like, to most people, Jesus is just their buddy that helps them through tough times and forgave their sins because they're a good person.
He's Arnold Schwarzenegger?
So why don't we just run with that? Like, why, if that's, you know, and I'm not trying to, like, resurrect Jesus. But like,
oh, God.
What I'm saying is,
it's Good Friday.
It's coming on Sunday anyway. Mm. What I'm saying is, like, the archetype is there in people's minds, and they're just imprinting that Jesus onto that archetype. So we don't have to be like it's religion. It's not written. It's not written in stone. You know, it's whatever people are going with, and so we can make it better than it is. And I've always said to Christians, like. The problem you have is that there's an entire institutional apparatus that has been subverted by shitlibism. So a lot of times it rings hollow when people hear that you want to bring Christianity back, because it's not about the masses and what they believe. It's like you can tell them whatever. The issue is that these institutions, the ones that actually have power, that have the bully pulpit, have been totally subverted. So what do we do about that? That's what we have to focus on.
I feel like we're doing Joseph Campbell right now.
Well, he was right.
Soup? I'm starving.
It's one of the hero of a thousand faces thing. Like, you just have these archetypes that are programmed into you.
Yeah.
It's in your neural architecture. And you
well,
just,
like
you
the
just
Goblin Jew banker. Anyway. The Goblin Jew banker is programmed into our neural architecture.
Yeah.
It's Everybody a neural net computer.
Neural
a
net.
Learning program. What is that?
It has become a there.
What is that? My CPU is a neural net processor. A learning computer. Which one was that in 2? I think that was in part 2.
Yeah, it was in 2. Wasn't there like a scene? God, I'm doing the soy boy thing. But wasn't there a scene they cut out that was in the director's cut where they like open up part of his head to enable the learning component?
I don't remember.
And that's maybe, like used possibly. To explain.
You remember why when people used to do Arnold calls?
Arnold calls?
Remember if you used to do Arnold prank calls?
Oh, yeah, with the soundboard from Robbie Anthony.
One of the funniest ones was somebody calls like Gateway. Remember Gateway Computers?
Who is your daddy and what does he do?
Yeah, there was one where somebody calls like...
Those are all Kindergarten Cop.
Yeah, yeah, they're all... But some of them were from other movies, too. Oh, there was one...
Ask
the
a bunch
one,
of questions. Yeah. Demands it immediately.
The funniest one was the guy calls like Gateway Computers and some girl answers and she's like, what model of Gateway do you have? He's like, my CPU is a neural net processor. A learning computer. And she's like, what model Gateway do you have? And he's like, shut up! It's just stop it! It's so stupid, but it's...
Stop whining!
It's really funny. Yeah. Arnold Calls Gateway was a classic one.
Yeah. That was an O&A bit. Or maybe they just played
nah,
it.
Nah, dude. They picked up it. On it. It was just an internet bit. That was like, it's like an Xer early, that was like an Xer early internet bit. Early like, internet Xers bits. Were all over that yeah. shit. That shit was funny, man. They played a lot of them, but yeah. like, they didn't come yeah. up with them.
There was one other funny joke about Last Action Hero.
Okay.
Remember I told you that, like, part of the plot was they take the, they take Arnold out of the movie, and the bad guy escapes the movie as well. He's in the real world. The bad guy.
Oh, and he's doing bad stuff?
Well, no. Like the
Why
first,
doesn't he just die?
What? Well, that's the thing. Like
the difference that in the real world,
learned,
the bad guy can
yes,
die.
Yes, the lesson he learns, and you know how he learns the lesson that the bad guys can win? he's walking down the sidewalk, and what looks like pre-Giuliani New York City, like in front of...
No, white people and stuff? Oh, you mean
no,
oh,
like the horrible, disgusting 42nd Street or whatever. And he witnesses like a bunch of niggers kill another nigger and steal his Jordans.
That's a scene you should have queued up.
That's what he learns. Yo, steal his shoes, steal his shoes.
So wait, like a bunch of Arnold learns this?
No, the bad guy.
That's
how he learns that he can thrive in this world. A bunch of niggers.
Who's the bad guy?
The patriarch of the Lannisters in Game of Thrones, the redhead guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's Benedict.
So he learns, wow, in this world.
His name is Benedict?
Yeah.
Nice bad guy name.
Yeah, yeah. It's really funny. It's like,
Benedict.
It's like, funny I never noticed this before, because that was actually a hot topic back then, like stealing.
Well, they used to do this.
Niggers stealing each other's
shoes. I mean, back in those days, they used to have these scenes, because this is what white people are anxious
about.
He
walks up on a pile of like black garbage bags that are like stacked this high, like sticking out from under him, like it's fucking Wizard of Oz. Is this poor nigger's like socks? Like, just his like bare feet sticking
Dude,
out.
Dude, those are the scenes you should have queued up, because we're doing... Look, I'll be the first to tell you that we have no idea what the hell we're talking about when it comes to religion. Like, that's the other thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Before anybody gets mad, Christian or pagan, we don't know what we're talking about.
Why would you get mad at me?
Well, as I always say, the option of not getting mad, always available to you. And
I see you getting mad. We don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah, we don't know what we're talking about. This is just all made up. Doesn't matter. My musings on theology is just whatever. I have no fucking idea what I'm talking about.
I wish I had that Trent drop. Fake and gay. Yay, yay. I don't have that queued up.
So, my thing is just that, like, this is actually more what I say to Begang Gang, actually, is about Christianity, is that, like, you're making such a big deal out of this, but it really doesn't matter if people are Christian. Like, they're going to be what they're going to be, and, like, the idea that the people that are Christian... Like, I understand your arguments about the Jewish roots of the religion and stuff. Mm-hmm. I do understand that, you know, but that's, like, so far above the heads of, like, almost everybody.
Yeah.
That, like, if people are just, like, going to church and, like, Jesus is my buddy, he carries me through the sand or whatever, like, who fucking cares? If it's helping them out...
Don't get mad at me that I'm trying to fix it.
Well, I understand that you're trying to fix it, I just don't... I think
if
successful
you grew up
in
the church and you're authentically doing this because your great-grandparents went to the same church and that's what you grew up with and that's just part of your natural identity, that's one thing. But if you picked up this religion 2 weeks ago and you're super serious about it, I don't know.
Well, the thing is, I grew up going to church, and that's why I think Christianity is kind of a joke. Granted, I went to the Episcopal church.
So did I.
So that's why – maybe that might be the common denominator here, is that the two of us – because, you know, I don't really know anybody that – the only people I know in this thing that grew up going to church, for the most part, are people like you and me that grew up going to a pretty pos church and are just like, yeah, church.
It's just
– nah.
Just didn't want to be there. It's just boring.
It's
like
boring.
It's the weekend.
I went to smaller churches whenever I was a kid. I remember kind of liking some of them. The smaller churches, at least they have more interesting messaging and stuff.
More interesting performances by the preacher there, I think, don't they?
The preacher is usually, you're going to get something beyond like a salvation message, because that's like usually the thing is pass the offering plate, do the salvation bit, like at most of these big churches. Smaller churches will actually like dig into like doing an exegesis on like a piece of scripture.
That's more that I would be interested in.
Did you say exo-Jesus?
Yeah,
I can get behind exo-Jesus.
We are not using that as a show title, just so you know. No. It's particularly not on Good Friday.
better be the notes though, Jamie. Exo-Jesus.
Jeez. On Good Friday of all times. Well, see, it's funny how we still consider there's something about Good Friday. Like, I am not a believer,
Look,
but I still feel like there's something about today that is the day you're not supposed to be.
My feel is a little different than yours. I feel bad that I'm alienated from the church and from Jesus. I don't like it.
I accept my authentic self.
I don't. I don't like it. Right. I want to fix it, but
that's
it's
fine.
Every time I think too hard of it, like I just can't.
Well, one of the things I always tell Christians when they want to get me back into some kind of Christianity is like, it's not going to happen. Like I can't fake that. Like I don't believe it, and I can't fake it. Like I grew up going to the Episcopal church. Every time I went to church, like I liked it. There was nice people there that I had fun with.
Yes,
and I made a lot of friends, particularly amongst the youth group and such.
Yep,
and we would do fun stuff, but I never believed in this, and there was a lot of shitty political messaging being pushed at the church I went to, and like I had to be true to myself. I don't believe it. Like, that's just who I am. I mean, I don't really care if you do, but I don't.
You do what you do.
And so I would be lying to you and me if I went to church and pretended like I was this was a thing that was doing something for me. So I can't do it. I just got to be true to myself. Authentically, the fedora doesn't really fit my head either, because just I look like an asshole wearing a fedora.
Everybody does.
Well, that's kinda the thing about fedora. I guess that's the thing. Everyone kind of looks like an asshole. But you know what I mean.
Shane or totally. Looks pretty good fedora.
Yeah, Shane does look
Shane is the cutest guy in a fedora. Yes. Just so everyone knows, he's a baby.
Let's get Shane in a white hood. See how he looks in that. No?
Full exo Shane.
Right. No. Full exo Shane.
Babies probably are full exo, though. Probably everything I don't like, I'm going to scream and cry.
And I'm going to shit myself.
If I could make it disappear, I would.
Yeah.
And then I would make just like titties appear.
Just give me them titties, man.
Yeah.
Titty money.
You know what happened yesterday? I was working on a bicycle, of course. And this little idiot came by, and he got grease all over his hands. He got grease all over his little walker. He got it over his face.
Shame.
I swear, like, I look away for 1 second, and I'm like, holy shit, where did all this grease come from?
Well, he was touching your bicycle chain.
Maybe Johnny
was
there
for a
visit.
Yeah, he grabbed the chain and then proceeded to just kick grease everywhere.
Nice.
Well, that was a good Italian joke.
What is it?
Oh, so Johnny, maybe Johnny came by for a visit. Could have used Stryker for that, though. All right, let's get out of here. Everybody have a happy Easter.
Happy Easter,
or Passover, depending on, you know, what you're... What, I'm just kidding.
Don't leave comments about Easter.
I gotta go paint my door!
And now
my door needs a fresh coat of paint!
Here's where I definitely agree with Pentecostalism. Jesus, one of the most interesting things to me... Now, I do enjoy reading the Bible, though, even though I'm not... really, I find it a fascinating document. Jesus was in a dialogue, a polemic? Jesus was in a he was polemical. Like the New Testament can be seen as a polemic towards Pharisaic Judaism, if you will.
Uh-huh.
Like
okay.
Much of Jesus's speeches and talks were a direct attack upon the Pharisees, who are basically they're Jews. They don't make that clear. Now, a lot of the times where they say the scribes and the Pharisees in the New, if those of you that are used to a church and you're hearing I remember my whole life, it was the translation of the Bible they use at church. Because I did go to church every Sunday until I was like 20 years old. And we would read the stories. So every Sunday you get an Old Testament, a New Testament, and a Gospel reading. And I would always remember that in the New Testament and the Gospel readings, they would always say the chief priests and scribes. And now in other translations, they would call those like the Pharisees.
The kikes.
They would say the scribes, but they would say, because the scribes were like the Jews constantly writing shit down, you know, because they're constantly copying their fucking holy books, right? And then the chief priests would be Pharisees. That's another word that they would use, but the translation my church was using was chief priests. So Jesus was always in a fight with the chief priests and scribes, and they never made it clear to me that these were kikes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? How did that happen?
And imagine that the translations that we're getting of the Bible, now there's some older translation where they just say the Jews. The Jews. It's funny when Jesus, the bit where Jesus does the give to Caesar what's Caesar and give to God what's God's. In some translations of the Bible, the people that stand up that try to entrap him there, the word is lawyer. They're like, a lawyer came to Jesus and he said...
An investment banker came to Jesus.
Oh, God, a lawyer. So now I know the Bad Gang Gang doesn't like this, but it's true.
A producer came before Jesus and asked him.
Jesus was in a polemic diatribe, really, against these people. Yeah. And that's why he turned over the temple and he whipped these people and all that stuff. Like, because just also for those that don't know, the context of Jesus whipping the money changers, it's Passover. And one of the things that happens, you go back to Jerusalem, and you're supposed to go to the main, all Jews are supposed to come back to Jerusalem, go to the main temple of Jerusalem for Passover, and you're supposed to buy an animal to sacrifice. And they only take the Jewish shekels. They only take shekels. They only take Jewish money to buy the Passover lamb, right? To buy the lamb that they're going to sacrifice. Which then Jesus became a metaphor for. So when they call Jesus the Paschal Lamb, he was sacrificed by the Jews. But, so you buy that lamb or whatever animal you're going to sacrifice, because you have to bloodily sacrifice an animal. That's written into the scriptures. You've got to do that. But a lot of these Jews are coming from all over the world, and they got different currencies. So there's money changers outside the temple so that they can go in and use the correct kind of money to buy the lamb. Now, do you think those money changers weren't skimming off the top? Of course they were. They were charging a transaction fee. Right? And Jesus came in. He's like, if this is really important, why has this become a financial transaction where somebody
wet my beak a little bit.
Where someone is wetting their beak.
It's and a so very large hooked beak. So he goes takes a lot of water to wet it.
He goes in with the leather whip and he kicks over their temples and he whips them.
Okay, hot.
And it's pretty funny. And, you know, it's funny. One of the things that Jews complain about, or Jews that still talk about this and are woke to this, they're like, you know, Jesus says he loves everybody in his book there, in the Gospels. The where's the love for the Jews? It's not there. It's not there.
Funny how that works out. Funny how nature do that.
I'm just telling you what I'm just telling you what I'm reading. Look, don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you what I read in these books. These are your books. I never wrote these.
I mean, I just don't feel love for goblins.
Yeah, these goblin people don't inspire any emotion of kindness, charity, love, any of that. That just doesn't do it for me.
Anyway, I'm starving. Let's go.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Early show today. Sorry about the lack of prep on the couch, but you know, somebody had someplace to be. So we'll be back next week, fams. Have a happy Easter.
Yeah. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
That's the wrong button.
Not Easter.
There we go.
Always give your best. Never get discouraged. Never be petty. Always remember. Others may hate. Those who hate you don't win. Unless you hate them. Then you destroy yourself.